much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We're back, America.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Let me ask you a question. You take an Asian guy and an Indian guy, marijuana, hilarity then ensues.
Leave it be, I say, but you always asking questions. So many pointless questions.
Lisa, may I love you? Can I put it in your purr? Lisa May, can I shove it in your...
And now...
These girls, man, they're getting on my neck.
Our feature presentation.
I thought that was a lovely tribute, Lisa, from one of our listeners. He's fairly direct, though, considering he's never met you, that his first request is where he wants to put that.
Even, you know, someone who knows me really well would probably want to say it in a slightly more flowery fashion.
Or at least my pointer. At least buy a girl a drink, right?
Yeah.
That's all you're saying. Damn. At least pretend. At least pretend. Anyway, welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, kids. It is a Monday. How was everybody's weekend? Beer mug, how about you?
Oh, man. You know, I have the worst luck when it comes to new cars. I'll have a car for not even 6 months, and something out of the ordinary tends to happen to it all the time. A gate that was stored at the side on the side of my house decided to just fall on my car and just smash my fender.
No, really?
Yeah, it was parked. Yeah.
That had to somehow be your fault,
no,
though, right?
What? Not my fault, as Dave the King of Mexico says.
So just large, heavy objects just falling on your new car?
Yep, 125-pound steel gate on my new car.
Strong. What caused it to fall?
Was it during the rain, or...?
No, it wasn't during the rain. I'm having an
aftershock from the Oklahoma earthquake.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I think someone that is not fessing up to the crime did open the gate and caused it to fall on my car, because the gate was picked up afterwards. Because I hadn't noticed. I noticed that there's a light on the gate that was shattered. So it just led me to believe that someone knocked it over and picked it up. So I don't know. I'm still investigating.
All right. That's a boring story. How about you, Lisa? Oh. How was your weekend?
I went with Omar and Lightning to the food truck festival at Santa Anita on Saturday, which was really fun.
Did it rain on you?
No, it was actually a really beautiful day. It was cool and crisp, but the sun was out. It was really nice. Ate way too much food, met some listeners, had a good time.
Was Sarah Jessica Parker racing on Saturday?
No, she was not. I did bet on a horse called Awesome Mike, as did many other people, and he lost.
Didn't pay off.
That wasn't fun.
I had a terrible. Don't even ask me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not even going to bore you with my crappy weekend. Right. Unlike mugs, but don't even ask. It was terrible. Here's a terrible weekend though for a bunch of kids. Man, I hate this story so much, because I think that this is just another example, and we've talked about on this show before about how nobody has a sense of humor about anything anymore. Everybody is out there looking to get offended. Everybody wants to have their feelings hurt, and they want other people to do everything so that never, ever happens. And it has happened again. This time at a high school soccer game that happened over the weekend. Are you guys familiar with, what's it called, the Bernie? Are you guys familiar with the dance of the Bernie? You would know it, Muggs, the Bernie.
I'm afraid not.
The Bernie is very hot right now, and God knows how this got started, but it's based on Weekend at Bernie's 1 and 2. It's based on the dead guy coming to life and doing a wacky dance where he kind of leans his head back a little bit, and it's just a silly Weekend at Bernie's thing. Again, I have no idea how it got started.
I like it.
So your arms dangle behind you, and you're bobbing around like you're not in control of your body. You know, you're just kind of, you're this corpse walking down the street in a funny way. That's all. So it's become popular, and there's a whole bunch of videos of people doing it, on YouTube and everything. Ray Rice, I think is his name, of the Baltimore Ravens, did the Bernie after a touchdown the other day. So in Maryland, where Baltimore plays, these soccer players won a big game, and they were excited, like kids are, and they decided that they were going to do the Bernie for a few seconds on the field after the clock ran out and they won the game, right?
Okay.
Now, you would think you're in the stands, you would go, hey, that's funny, the kids are doing the Bernie. Or if you've never heard of the Bernie, hey, it's funny, those kids are celebrating by doing a wacky dance, right? Well, fans and parents of the opposing team were outraged thought it was showed unsportsmanlike conduct and that it was sexually suggestive.
By the way, no.
Nothing could be further from the truth, by the way. It's a bunch of guys, basically, like in formation, doing the Bernie with their, you know, with their heads back and their arms dangling behind them. So the principal of their school gets the complaints and says, well, I got to do something about this. So he cancels the team's entire season. Overreaction much.
Not just one game, the entire season.
The whole rest of the season. They are done. Yes.
Come on.
What's happening here? What's going on?
That's unbelievable.
It was just a reaction from a bunch of kids, and it doesn't even matter how old they are because they do it in the pros, too. It's just a fun celebration. It's not, you know, pointing or yelling or, you know, doing anything toward the other team. It's in no way. I mean, it's what isn't high school sports, aren't they supposed to be fun?
No,
are you supposed to have a good time?
Apparently not. No. No fun shall be had here. We'll suspend it.
Must you show no emotion whatsoever if you win a big game?
I don't know. It's that's ridiculous. They're kids.
I mean, look, I understand that the other team was sad that they lost, but you know what? You're playing a competitive sport, and somebody's going to lose, and sometimes it's you.
And it is just a game.
And it's just a game, and you're allowed to be happy when you win.
Listen to those stupid parents. Honestly, I know. God.
Well, the stupid parents are half the problem. The other half of the problem is the principal of Perry Hall, who didn't say, oh, well.
Right.
You know, that's what we've been saying on this show for so long is because we get our fair share of complaints on the Kevin and Bean show as well. And it used to be that management would say, oh, you're not happy with the show? We invite you to not listen.
Right.
And now they say, oh, my God, you must meet with our attorneys so we can figure out a way to compensate you for how upset you are.
Well, would you bet one of those parents said the word lawsuit?
I don't know. But it just it really annoyed me. I didn't even know there was such a thing as the Bernie. And now I'm like the world's biggest proponent of letting kids do the Bernie.
I think we should all do it all the time.
Yeah. I want to go there and just do the Bernie 24/7.
The Dougie is dead. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Bernie. The Bernie is back.
So. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I hate that. Hey, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, though.
A man should not be judged by what he does with a fellow man's butt.
Well, I actually do agree with that as well. Two huge things on today's show. Yes, Miss Double December is coming in.
That's right.
That's one of the huge things. Miss Double December is going to be here in her final days of her reign as Miss Double D 2011, and she is going to help us make the announcement that will make some young Kevin and Bean listeners' dreams come true. Perhaps you, listening right now, although really hot chicks usually aren't up this early, can be Miss Double December 2012. We'll give you all the details on how that can happen. Today is the day that we kick off the most wonderful time of the year. The other thing that's coming up that's pretty good, I guess, if you're a twitard, is the new Twilight movie is getting ready to come out, and we have tickets to the premiere with the stars.
I feel so bad. Somebody mailed me like a week and a half ago and said, are you going to do it? And I was like, I don't think so. I mean, nobody tells me anything, but I don't think so. I haven't heard anything.
And here it is, right?
Here it is.
So I would imagine, especially for Twilight fans, as rabid as they are, that if you get a chance to be, you know, in the same place as the singing dog, then you could, then it would just blow your mind, right?
Really,
to see him in
wolf,
person. Whatever he is, I don't know. But we're going to give you a chance in less than an hour to win those tickets to the Twilight Red Carpet World Premiere. Also, got a great phone topic today. I don't remember if we've it's been a long time since we've done this one. But we're going to talk to people who have lost their significant other, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, to someone of the same sex.
Yes.
Does that make it a little easier for you? Make it a little more difficult for you? Does it make you question your ability to know your partner if you didn't see that coming? Or do you just go, well, out of my hands, nothing I could have done about that one. But there's a story in the news that led us to want to talk about that again.
Sure is interesting.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. He had Justin Bieber on his 1:30 website show on Friday and broke some fascinating late breaking news on the paternity suit to Justin that he did not even know about. So we'll talk about that. Also talk about Lindsay Lohan being in and out of jail and everything else going on in the world of TMZ.com. Andrew Siciliano joins us on the program today with a recap of another very exciting NFL weekend. And there's an all-new Bean's Death Corner, too. All of that straight ahead. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat next here on the Kevin and Bean. You want the Weezer? I got the Weezer for you.
Oh, you're like the Weezer. It's in the trunk, man.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, Monday. Ralph Kevin, how was Las Vegas?
Oh, Las Vegas is just the best place and the worst place in the world at the same time.
We did our Hollywood Babylon show there, Kevin Smith and I, and Vegas was Garmy Strong, I have to tell you. There was
really?
A ton of people. We packed the house. It was a great, great show, and it was just a blast of a weekend, and I am exhausted.
You don't go to Las Vegas as much as the monkey does.
No, but I don't.
But you love it the same way he does, right?
I do. I've gone less and less now that we've got the baby girl at home and all, but the wife and I were able to get away this weekend while I was doing the show, and it's just it's better that I don't go so often. It's just not going too much is fine, actually, in reality, because I just go so hard. It's just, it's crippling.
Because why sleep, right? If you're in Las Vegas, there's always something to do. It's not like anything closes. There's 24-hour-a-day entertainment options.
Yeah, and when you are tired, you're like, all right, I'm just going to push through. And you just go to the next level, and you get your second win, and just bad things happen. So anyway, I told Smith this week, and I said, I love coming here. I love performing here. I mean, to play in Vegas as a comedian / whatever it is that I do.
Entertainer, right?
It's just the pinnacle, really. It's just nothing more fun. But I am losing so much money when we perform there that it's really not worth it to go there to do anymore. So I might have to perform via satellite or something next time. It's just crazy.
And it takes 6 months off your life every weekend you spend in Las Vegas. Well, I'm always happy whenever someone on our show goes to Las Vegas, just that they return with all their body parts alive. I'm pleased to see that.
Yeah, so. Well, that's the wife's job. Everybody's got their job. I go there to perform. She makes sure she's there to make sure I get home alive. So she did her job this week.
Brings the paramedic kit. Keeps an eye on you.
Oh, yeah. IV.
All right. Well, it is Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Find out what we missed over the weekend. What's new? What's going on? What's happening?
Because it is Monday, that means we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend to give you an idea what movies people went to. And looks like people love Puss. In Boots. In 3D. $34 million. That cartoon racked up this weekend pretty strong in its debut. The second most popular film was Tower Heist this weekend, the Eddie Murphy, Ben Stiller crime comedy. $24.6 million made it number two, greatly under their expectations, by the way. I think they thought it was going to be a bigger hit than it actually turned out to be. At least
I know I'm interested in seeing him, and I think it's a great cast.
Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas did $13 million in its debut. All good films in the top three. Then Paranormal Activity 3 was number four. In Time was fifth. Footloose, Real Steel, The Rum Diary, Ides of March, and Moneyball rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. This happened just in time for my Hollywood Babylon show in Vegas, and I appreciated Andy Rooney taking some time out of his busy schedule to die on Friday at 92. Just weeks after his final broadcast on CBS's 60 Minutes, he went into the hospital for some minor surgery. Apparently, complications ensued, and the legendary TV newsman passed away at the age of 92 years old.
You know something I don't like? Chocolate chip cookies.
You're an ass. How could you not like chocolate chip cookies? 92.
It's got a lot of paperweights. What's a paperweight for, anyway?
Hold down paper, asshole. 92.
It's a nice tribute.
Whatever. 92. He lived. He lived longer than any of us are going to live. He did fine. Everyone relax.
We may have to talk about Andy later because he was so cranky too. I mean, I guess if you're that old and you're already, you know, fairly well respected, you can just be a dick to everyone. But he was the dick to everyone
all weekend long. I was watching footage on CNN. They're doing their tributes, and all he kept saying is, I hate being recognized. People come up to me and say they like my show. It makes me uncomfortable. I don't... Shut up! God damn
it. He's a dick.
He's a dick. I don't care, he's dead. He's a dick. Kris Jenner is in trouble. Turns out the Native American population did not appreciate a recent interview she gave on Good Morning America when she was asked about Kim's engagement ring and whether Kim would give it back to Kris Humphries. Kris Jenner said, well, I hate an Indian giver, don't you? I mean, it's a gift. Keep your gift. Well, the National Congress of American Indians.
Oh, come
the
on.
The country's largest Native American group are up in arms.
Because of that expression? Because that expression exists?
How dare you, Bean? How dare you? How dare you attack my indigent people's brothers like that?
I think indigenous is the word.
Yeah, those people, too. Hollywood Reporter says the leader of the National Congress of American Indians says the phrase Indian giving is wrong and hurtful. The cultural values of Native Americans are based on unconditional giving and empowering those around them. Instead, this cultural value is forgotten when negative stereotyping of Native people occurs.
So, in other words, they gave us the expression, now they're taking it back.
How dare you again, sir?
Look what he did.
Oh, I am going to drink some fire water and just go on the warpath with you.
Here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down.
You know, I'm 1/32nd part Apache.
I didn't realize that. Is that why we can't fire you?
That's right.
I knew you had something on this station. I couldn't figure out what it was.
And Chaz Bono's not happy either, much like the Indians. She's unhappy with the National Enquirer because of a story they printed. Well, she's got a point when I read what the story was.
Let's say just to avoid more people complaining about
it. He's got a point. I mean no disrespect when that mistake happens, but I've been thinking of her and talking about it for so long as a female. It's just it's going to take me some concentrated effort to correct myself, and I apologize. I mean no disrespect.
Yes, we old people remember her as Chastity Bono as being a girl, far right. more than we do.
So when I see the name printed, that's where my mind goes to because of those memories, as opposed to when I see her in person. Obviously, I know it's a man now. But sorry, so I apologize. Chaz Bono, he is not happy with the National Enquirer, and I can see why, because of the story that they printed, which is really just completely out of line. National Enquirer got a doctor. I guess he's a doctor. He's got a doctor in front of his name, Dr. Patrick Wannis, who published a story in the National Enquirer saying, based on Chaz's weight and the combined stress of his recent appearance on Dancing with the Stars and the various medications that are associated with his gender reassignment, Chaz's risk of an early death is almost assured. The doctor said Chaz will probably die by 2015.
Oh, my God.
Dude. Come on. That's no kind of article to write about anybody.
No.
This is not his doctor. This isn't Chaz's doctor. This is just a doctor. He said, oh, well, as fat as he is and all that dancing plus the medication takes, he'll probably be dead by 2015. You don't write that about anybody.
No one needs that.
Chaz had his legal team fire up a letter asking for a retraction and an apology. Said the story was blatantly false and defamatory. I don't know if it's defamatory. I mean, I'm not saying he's killing people. I'm just saying that he will probably die by 2015.
I don't even know if it's false, by the way.
Yeah.
Could be true. Doctor could be right. A doctor could be diagnosing him from his couch.
I guess we have to wait for 2015 to roll around before we know
right.
whether he's got a case or not.
But look.
That's a crappy thing. That's a crappy random article to print.
It is. I 100% agree. And the doctor could have said the same thing about millions of other obese people.
Right.
It's just they're putting their health at risk. I think we all know that.
Yes.
You can write that fatty?
Now listen to Bean now. He's dropped 45 pounds.
Yeah, right.
Oh, those fat people with their obesity. They're putting their health at risk. I don't like them. They should be corralled and put in a camp.
I was never obese, though.
Oh, you're pretty big. You're pretty big. That's all I'm saying.
Wait. 51 pounds now, by the way.
294? What the hell were you weighing?
It was 262. I can't stop losing weight now.
352?
I'm 211 now, so I can't, stop it.
You like Demi Moore.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Christopher Knight. He, along with me, one of the few actors ever to play Peter Brady of the Brady Bunch, 54 years old today.
Now, would you say...
There's just a handful of us, who played Peter Brady.
Yeah, there aren't many, but would you say that he is probably the most famous of the actors who played Christopher Knight?
I don't know about that. I don't know.
Really?
Depends on who you ask, I guess. On which version of Peter Brady people have been exposed to. That's all I'm
saying. The one that's been on TV and reruns for 40 years, or the one that you did once on stage.
I didn't do it once. I did it for a year on stage, I'll have you know.
Really?
Okay. Yes.
Wow.
So people around these great United States of ours, many of them, for them, I am the definitive Peter Brady.
They see him, they go, who's that guy trying to bite off Ralph Garman's
exactly.
career?
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's Bobby!
No, I was Peter. That Bobby was a different actor. 54 years old today, Christopher Knight is. Morgan Spurlock.
I like to use Visa.
Oh, no, sorry, it's the wrong Morgan. Morgan Freeman. He is 41 years old today. Robin Frink from Nine Inch Nails and Guns N' Roses is 40 years old today. Actors Jeremy and Jason London, the twins, are 39 years old. Yunjin Kim. From Lost. She played Sun on that show. You may remember
sure
the lovely and talented actress. She is 38. And Paris Showers, legendary porn star Paris Showers, star of such films as Runaway Butts 4 and Backseat Driver 15. See if you can see what her specialty is there by the title of her films. She is.
Well, Muggs is certainly familiar with her work.
She is 28 years old today. Wanted to give her a shout out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Hey, all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock, we are hooking you up with tickets for a the Disneyland Resort Park Hopper tickets. Those are, you go everywhere. You go to all the parks down there, right? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Giving them away all week long. Go to krock.com for all the details. Keep listening for your chance to win. Ralph made a reference to it a few minutes ago that Andy Rooney passed away. He has been a fixture on television. I think probably, I don't know when he joined 60 Minutes, but I know he started doing his commentaries sometime in the 1970s. So most of us grew up with Andy Rooney at the last 5 minutes of 60 Minutes. But he had a very long and distinguished career, started working in the newspaper business in the 1930s, Lisa May.
Oh, my God. That's when he was full grown and working.
Yes.
In the 30s.
In the 30s, yes. So he passed away at 92, and as Ralph was saying, he was just a cranky son of a bitch. And there are going to be some people who are happy to see him go, but we thought, you know what? We have the opportunity. We have the technology. Why don't we hook up the hotline to heaven and see if we can catch up with Mr. Andy Rooney and find out what he's up to on the other side.
All right.
Hello, heaven.
Hello.
Is this Andy?
This is Andy Rooney.
Oh, hi, Andy Rooney. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, Los Angeles, California. How are you, sir?
The hotline to heaven.
That's right.
Isn't there one place where you shouldn't be bothered by cell phone calls? Wouldn't that place be heaven?
Well, I mean, you have all eternity. We're not going to keep you but for a couple of minutes. We just wanted to say hi, reach out to you from the other side now that you've passed.
And why so many clouds in heaven?
Can't answer that.
Who said that would be the most peaceful way to spend the rest of eternity, surrounded by clouds?
Look,
and not everyone likes harp music either. I know I don't. And here I am, surrounded by clouds and by harp music. Shouldn't I get some say in what heaven looks like? After all, I'm going to be here for all eternity, just like these other people. Why don't I get a chance to describe what I think heaven would be like? A strip club.
Lots of bourbon
and other newspaper men. We can bore each other with old stories about World War II. Now that would be heaven to me.
I don't think you get to pick. I think this is how God has it set up, and you just go and you just accept it. You're just happy that you're in heaven rather than in hell. I think that's the message here.
Aren't doctors supposed to help you live longer, not kill you after a minor surgery?
Yeah, I guess that's what happened to you. You had some sort of a complication from surgery. You were in otherwise pretty decent health for a man of 92, right?
You'd think a doctor's first rule of business is not kill the patient.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Yes,
I'm beginning to have my doubts about doctors. And what about beauty parlors? How many women really come out of a beauty parlor looking better than when they walked in? I know my wife never did.
Aww.
I don't think that you need to spend all of your time bitching about stuff down on Earth now, Andy. It's time for you to retire and relax and enjoy yourself a little bit.
What is it about people who bitch all the time? Do you wonder why some people just never seem to be happy? Can't they just realize that life is filled with little things that are going to bother us all and not talk about it all the time? Well, I know I'm tired of hearing about it.
But wait, you're that guy. You're describing you. You're the cranky old man who bitches about everything.
Do you ever wonder why some people have to call you out on your own stuff? I don't really need to know what's wrong with me. If you're aware that I'm doing something that may be hypocritical, just keep it to yourself.
Andy, I have to ask, why in all the interviews that they've been running recently did you talk about all the idiots that came up to you and wanted to shake your hand or get a picture or get an autograph? These were your fans. These are the people who kept you on television all those years.
I'd like to be left alone.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps television wasn't the best career choice for me.
No, I think you're right about that. All right, do you think you're gonna enjoy it up there?
No.
Okay. Hey, ladies, 18 and over, do you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2012? We'll give you the chance to enter for the pageant that's coming up. Gosh, I guess it's less than a month from right now. We're going to be crowning a new Miss Double D. And our Miss Double D 2011, who many people feel is the best woman who has ever worn the crown, is going to be joining us in studio in about 45 minutes or so. So we'll find out what it's like for her as her reign is coming to a close.
Okay.
First, though, let's take a look at some email. Got a lot of response Friday to Beer Mug's interviews on the red carpet for Harold and Kumar.
Beer Mug here at the red carpet premiere.
And that's about how it went. I mean, that was the opening 2 seconds, and it essentially went downhill from there. It's been a while since I've laughed as hard at anything on this show, Lisa, as I did at Beer Mug's interviews.
Those were amazing.
And what is it about Mug? How would you describe what his technique is on the red carpet? Just, is it apathy? Is it ignorance? Is it incompetence? Is it all of those?
It is like winging it times 1,000, where he actually actively blocks his brain from thinking anything until the person is in front of him and he's opened his mouth and started half a sentence.
You're absolutely right.
Well, here's one example. Hey, you're killing me, says Kristen. You're killing me, Muggs. I was on the freeway transition during the Muggs interviews. I was laughing so hard that I was actually in tears and almost ran myself off the road.
Oh, no.
It was the most painful set of interviews I have ever heard, yet I cannot remember the last time I laughed myself to tears. That's amazing. Keep up the bad work, Muggs. Happy freaking Friday, says Kristen. Love you guys. So that's the kind of the example. And if you missed it, if for whatever reason you weren't here for Friday's show, we did put up a post at kevinandbean.com. I think Chip put the audio up there, too, so you can enjoy it. Here's a comment from a listener, excuse me, about a previous set of Beer Mug interviews. Now, I did not hear the stuff that you did at Occupy Wall Street. I heard a couple of highlights.
As far as the area goes, we're surrounded City Hall. We're a little bit on this side, and there's more people on that side. Have you been mingling and, you know, intermixing and going around talking to people?
So Muggs was on fire for those interviews as well. But Walter writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I've been a daily listener for more than a decade, but after the Beer Mug interviews at Occupy LA, I am seriously considering stopping being a listener. You guys are trivializing and dismissing the most important movement we've had in 50 years as one big joke. Of course, you look to interview the crazy-looking people down there. The Occupy movement represents all of us, Walter. Okay, here's the thing, Walter. We don't have an obligation to present the totality of the movement on our radio program. Muggs goes down there looking for comedy. That's what he's down there for.
People
we're not
know
suggesting,
that.
And I think most reasonable people know that certainly the small number of people that Beer Mug talked to that we put on the air is not meant to in any way represent everybody that's responsible for the, you know, for what's going on Occupy Wall Street. We've had other people on, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine as one example, who are kind of on representing the serious side of the story. But there's nothing wrong with having some laughs at the story either. And I'm always amazed when I see an email like this from Walter. The guy obviously has been a big fan of this program if he says he's been listening to us every day for 10 years. Isn't it kind of weird to think that one interview like this that he feels, you know, doesn't have as much meat as he would like would stop him from listening to the show at all?
I think that's a gut reaction sometimes when people just fire it off. And then
maybe.
If you write them back the next day, they go, yeah, you're right. I was just in a mood.
Does kind of seem like an overreaction. Yeah. Got a tremendous amount of emails from people, and I was shocked at how many people we had calling us up on the show. We were talking about listeners who have lost teeth, had teeth knocked out as adults. I can't believe how many more we got in the email. Here's just two. Listening to last Wednesday's podcast, and I'm cringing through every moment of the teeth conversation, but I've got a good one. When my sister went in to get her wisdom teeth out, she came out missing her, wait for it, two front teeth.
What?
Right? How about that? The doctor said she was thrashing around while she woke up from the anesthesia. WTF? Question mark. I'm pretty sure the doctor just punched her while she was sleeping or something. But can you imagine what that would be like if you go in to get your wisdom teeth out and you come out and you have two other teeth missing? Your front teeth?
That's insane.
It is a crazy story. Adam writes in, and this is maybe my favorite of all of them. My girlfriend busted her two front teeth out when she passed out while masturbating in the shower. She's not doing it right then. I mean, look, I don't know a lot about
it in the bath.
I don't know a lot about girls and the way that works, but if you can pass out, I mean, he doesn't mean falling asleep, though. Maybe he means passing out from the ecstasy of it. Maybe she's doing it exactly
Maybe
right
she's
then.
She's doing it more right than I've ever done it.
Yeah, you've never knocked yourself out doing it,
not
right?
Not ever, no.
A lot of response to not all positive coming my way, but I was talking last week about how I think that most people who are having trouble losing weight are just not trying very hard because I didn't find it all that difficult to do. Mm-hmm. It seems like the formula is pretty simple of calories in, calories out. And I did get some support. For instance, Bean, you're entirely right. A little bit of exercise, a little less food. It is that easy. Fat people suck, not because they're fat, but because they all complain that they were stricken with some debilitating fat-assy disease. Just stop eating cake, you stupid fat people. I'm 5'10 and weighed in at a staggering 330 pounds at one time. Did I whine and complain? No. I said, holy poo, I better stop eating all this cake. A little bit of exercise, a little less food. Bam, I'm now at 185. Suck it, fat people. This is all men in jest. Please don't be mad at me, you fat fatties.
Jeez.
Then I got this one that said, Bean is an asshole. This is on the same topic. Sorry my response is so late, but I was driving to work today listening to the show. I have to agree with you on all counts of Bean being an asshole. It's hard for many people to lose weight. I've been a big guy my whole life. Okay, I'm a fat ass. And I've cut out drinking all sodas and junk food. I rarely go out to eat. I cook sensibly. I have healthy meals. But with my genetic makeup and metabolism, I have to exercise twice as much as the average person in order to not gain weight. He goes on and on and on and on and on. P.S. Ralph, you are the best part of the show and the only one with talent. Well, except for Lisa May, if you know what I mean. Sincerely, Chris.
Ding.
You guys, this one from Letty in San Pedro begins. You guys are making it harder and harder for me to listen to you online at work. Every time I log onto your website at krock.com to listen, there's another half-naked person or guy with his dog hanging out. Look, I work in a library. I'm trying to be slick about it, but pretty soon my boss is going to block your website. Is there any way you can create a decoy homepage that loads during the 1 second it takes me to go to krock.com and click on the radio link and close the window? Is that too much to ask?
That's a great idea.
I mean, I guess people walk by and they see, you know, Miss Double D or something all over your computer screen, and maybe they don't realize, hey, it's just a radio station streaming site.
Right.
But and finally, and this is from our old friend Dr. Mo, who you know we love, and he's got the best stories of what comes through his hospital doors. He was writing in about the conversation we had about listeners who have been impaled, including our own intern Danny, right, who fell on a fence.
Mm-hmm.
Catching up with the podcast recently, I've had several of these impalings come into the ER over the years. We had one just last week. This woman wanted to catch her boyfriend cheating, so she tried to climb the 10-foot-high security fence outside his apartment, drunk, at 4 a.m. She slipped. The fence spike went through her upper thigh, hanging her upside down until the EMTs arrived. They cut the segment of fence out with a blowtorch or something, brought her into me with this 2-foot by 2-foot section of iron fence in her thigh, which I removed in the OR. She went home in the morning. Me thinks she was up to no good. She also had a box cutter hidden in her bra.
Oh, my God.
I love my job sometimes. Love the show. Sincerely, Dr. Mo. You can write to any of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The email address is ratkrock.com. And we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the red carpet world premiere of the new Twilight movie right now. This is Breaking Dawn Part 1. With the stars. If you are a twitard, we want to hear from you right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to win coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. No, blah. Hey? Blah. No, hey? Oh, the Count is here. Hi, blah. Count. How are you?
Hello. How are you, Kevin and Bean?
Blah. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here are the world-famous K-Rock, Andrew Siciliano talks NFL football. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com will be here later. Right now, the Count is here because we want to give away tickets to, well, your people are back in theater with their Twilight movie, Count.
Yes, we love vampire movies. Blah.
I know you do. We're looking for contestants right now. If you love the Twilight, 1-800-520-1067. Call now, and you can play Famous Bloods.
Famous Bloods, yeah, if you guess it right, you'll go see Twilight. Famous Bloods, yeah, you know it's on. You'll go see Breaking Dawn.
No.
Part 1, Famous Bloods.
Blood. At least he made it in a way that he could easily edit in part two if we want to use the intro again next week. Or next
Speaking
year, I should
from
say.
As a vampire, that sucks.
Yes, and you don't use that term loosely.
No, it's an important part of how we live. Blah.
All right, before we go to our contestants, Count, tell me how the game is played, please.
I will be asking trivia questions. The answer will always contain the word blood in it. Mm. Blood. I cannot emphasize this enough. Blood will be in the answer. So don't answer AC/DC or anything else like that, because blood must be in the answer.
All right, I understand we only have two pairs of passes that we can give away here, by the way. The Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 is going to be on Monday, November 14th at LA Live in theaters everywhere on Friday, November 18th. So, Lisa, you keep track, please, because we may not have enough for everybody to go around here.
Okay.
Let's start with contestant number one. We'll just take them in order, Beer Mug, starting with line one. Gonzalo joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Gonzalo.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Blah. That's me saying hello. Blah.
Okay. All right. Listen up. The Count's got a question for you. Remember, the answer includes the word blood.
In 1982, Sylvester Stallone starred for the first time as John Rambo, a misunderstood Vietnam War veteran, and began a hit franchise. What is the name of this movie? Hello?
Gonzalo. What's the name of that, what's that movie?
First Rambo movie.
First Rambo movie? I'm not sure.
Huh.
Couldn't
Count?
Even guess. Couldn't even guess. Take a guess with blood in the answer. First movie. Oh, too yeah. late now for you.
Would have been a great answer. Thank you for the call. Let's try May on line two. I mean, you did everything but give him the answer.
I really tried to help him win.
First,
he must
Rambo
be a werewolf. They're stupid.
That's what I understand.
Team Edward.
Hey, May. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, listen up. Here's the count.
This U2 hit song is the opening track on their 1983 album, War. Blah. Here's the audio from the song.
Tonight, we can be a sword tonight.
All right. Good one. What do you think, May? You've got to be effing me. This can't be happening. Really?
Nothing? No U2 song with blood in it? Nothing jumps to mind, eh? Oh,
May,
my lord.
Thank you for calling.
I'm sorry for you. That's Sunday, because you're you, and that makes me sad.
Sunday Bloody Sunday?
Sunday Bloody
familiar.
Sunday.
All right.
Wow.
Oh, for all right now.
Twilight fans are stupid, it turns out.
Well, I don't know. Maybe she just was asleep
Stupid.
That year. I don't know what might have happened. Rosie, however, is going to save the game. Rosie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how did you do with the first two questions that you were listening to on hold?
I'm screaming them over the phone.
All right. Good.
Okay. All right. All right. Here's the count. Let's see how you do.
This hit HBO television series is based on the Southern Vampire Mysteries book series.
True Blood.
Yay!
Yay!
You are in the drawing. Hang on. Let's try George, line four. George, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, playing for premiere passes for the Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1. Good luck. Here's the count.
George, this is an audio clue for you, so we'll be playing a little bit of music. Here's your question. This band had a hit with a song called The Bad Touch. It sounds like this.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Name the band.
Oh, man, the band.
Come on. If it helps, they've got blood in the title.
Bloodline?
No, I'm sorry. Bloodhound Gang.
Bloodhound Gang.
Yes, that's what I just said.
I knew it sounded familiar. I knew I heard it somewhere. Thank you, George.
Sorry, George.
I didn't realize you got much work after Halloween. This is kind of cool having you in November.
It's nice that the vampire movies are so popular. Now I can open mini malls and things. It's very
sure.
entertaining for me.
But only at night, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah, right. All right, let's try Emma, line five. Emma is a Twilight fan, ready to play the game. Hi, Emma. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
This is for premiere tickets, by the way. You'll get to see Robert Pattinson and that sour girl. They'll all be there. It's a big, big prize. Here's your question. Leonardo DiCaprio starred in this 2006 political thriller about precious gems mined in African war zones.
It's Blood Diamond.
Blood Diamond, yes!
All right, you are in the drawing. Thank you so much. And one more, Hector, line six. A guy named Hector has never gone to a Twilight movie in his life, I guarantee it. But he's calling anyway. Hector, you're on with the count. Good luck.
All right, we're going to jump down to the next audio clue. This 2007 film tells the story of a ruthless silver miner turned oil man during the late 19th century. And it featured this legendary line of dialogue.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up!
Nice. Hector,
name the movie.
I did not even hear the clip. Can I hear it one more time?
Let's play him the clip one more time, because he didn't hear it, so this way he can hear it and have no bitching when he's wrong.
I drink your milkshake! I drink it up!
I believe, and I could be wrong, Count, but didn't it also win the Academy Award for Best Picture the year it came out?
No, I think it was nominated.
Nominated but lost.
But
okay,
the star of the film won for Best Actor. Daniel Day-Lewis won
very,
for Best
very
Actor
popular.
Oscar. Very,
very
popular,
popular
film.
What's the name of that movie, Hector? Last chance.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to have to go with
Bloodsport. It's wrong.
But at least he guessed with blood in the title, and I appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that Rosie...
Let's get the answer first. Hold on there.
Yeah, sorry.
Hold your horses there,
I thought everybody
guy.
Listening knew. I thought Hector was the only one who didn't know. Sorry.
There will be blood is there the name of the blood. Film. There will be blood, yes.
Okay. Can yes. I go down, Kelly?
Now yeah. you may go with the timpani and everything. The whole orchestra can play for you now.
I'm going to say that Rosie and Emma are our two winners. They're going to be on the red carpet with the stars for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Count, and thanks for playing Famous Bloods.
Blah.
Famous Bloods, yeah, you guessed it right. Now you're off to see Twilight. Famous Bloods.
Blah, that sucks.
Is she here yet? Is Miss Double D Summer?
She couldn't be more here. We were just in the office canoodling.
She's way here.
And by canoodling, I mean, you know, talking.
Sure. Yeah, of course. Christine, the beautiful Miss Double December 2011, joins us after the top of the hour to reflect on her reign almost past, and then we'll tell you how you can be Miss Double December 2012. It really is. I know I say it every year, Elf, but I think it's true. The most wonderful time of the year. Am I right?
I agree. We always have so much fun with this
event. So much fun. All right. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Well, it is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Puss in Boots 3D. Number one at the box office by a long shot by about $10 million. It made $34 million this weekend. The next biggest money-making film was Tower Heist, the new Eddie Murphy, Ben Stiller crime comedy. $24.6 million made in its debut. Harold and Kumar, the 3D Christmas movie, came in at number three, $13 million. You know, you take an Asian guy, an Indian guy, and you add some pot, and then there you have it. Can I ask you a question? Oh, man. Beer Mugs interviews on the red carpet. Still, I was laughing this weekend when I was thinking about them.
Yeah. They're pretty amazing. And that movie came out at a great time, too, because it should play right through Christmas, right? I mean, sure. It's a holiday movie, so they'll probably do real well with that.
Paranormal Activity 3 was number four, then In Time at the number five slot. Footloose, Real Steel, The Rum Diary, Ides of March, and Moneyball. Rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Little TV note. You might want to find this show on your local listings and make sure you watch today. Dr. Drew's show, Life Changers. Life Changers.
Mm-hmm.
What's that, on the CW?
CW, 3 and 330, right.
3 and 330, CW, Dr. Drew. Courtney Stodden will be stopping by.
Oh, there it is.
She, of course, is the lovely and talented 17-year-old bride of Doug Hutchinson, the 51-year-old actor.
Mm-hmm.
And Courtney and Doug swear that Courtney has never had any plastic surgery of any kind. God is her plastic surgeon, in the words of her husband. So she's going on Dr. Drew's to prove it. Apparently, Dr. Drew will give her an ultrasound to check out to make sure her boobs are real. And, Dr.
What's
Drew.
What's going on with the doctor?
We need an intervention.
What the hell?
Can't we stop him somehow? What happened to that man?
He
used to save lives. Now he's given the Octomom personal training classes, and he's ultrasounding Courtney Stodden's boobs.
He's become Jerry Springer.
Drew, seriously, we love you. We need you to know how your choices are affecting us. We need to sit down. We need to sit him down. Everyone writes a letter, and we get up, and we talk about how his choices are affecting our lives in a negative way.
3 o'clock, Doug Hutchinson and Courtney Stodden are on the CW. And then at 3:30, the other episode is he sits down with Kate Major, Michael Lohan's crazy ex-girlfriend.
Wow.
So that's the action-packed hour on Drew's show today.
Wow. I'm just saying.
Courtney Stodden, by the way, I was on vacation, but I'm sure you had a lot of fun with her being forcibly removed from the pumpkin patch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, because she couldn't stop dry humping her old man husband and showing off her ass to the kids who were trying to pick out their jack-o'-lanterns. Come on!
She's the best.
And sometimes when you follow your favorite people on Twitter, you have to be careful. By the way, at Ralph Garman, if you want to follow me. Or, I don't think Bean's on Twitter, but I think other people here on the show
are. How dare you?
Check them out. If you're a fan of Gabri Sidibe.
Yes, I am, actually.
She, of course, was Precious
mm-hmm.
and stars in the new Tower Heist movie. If you're following her on Twitter, it is not her. Now, a lot of celebrities do get impersonators. However, Gabri said on The Talk the other day, that she doesn't mind because the person who is misrepresenting her is a very nice, positive person, is very kind to her fans, and is uplifting. In fact, even though she's a total imposter,
her mom, Gabourey's mom, follows her because she loves the girl so much who is writing her fake tweets.
How about that? That's
the
unusual.
Best of all possible worlds, right? We have somebody who's a really great Twitterer for you, and you don't have to do the work, and it makes all your fans happy.
Sure.
So there you go. So if you're a big fan of Gabourey, that person you're following is not her, but she likes her anyway. So there you go.
I saw her on, I can't remember, one of the shows the other day, and she was talking about that scene that's in the trailer of Tower Heist where she's helping Eddie Murphy and he's trying to crack the safe, and she's like, you married? You know, that whole scene flirting. Where she's like way coming on to him. Apparently that whole thing was ad-libbed, which is makes me love them both even more.
The complaint I heard about the film from a friend of mine who saw it is that Eddie Murphy's not in it all that much.
Really?
Disappointing.
He kind of comes in and out, and he says the movie really sparks when he's in it, but he's not in it nearly enough. So
yeah, that's a shame.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Chris Knight, who played Peter Brady on The Brady Bunch for all those years. Well, I guess he wasn't on for all those years, but we've seen it reruns forever. He's 54 years old today. Morgan Spurlock, the documentarian, is 41. Jeremy and Jason London, the London actors, are 39 years old today. Robin Frink, guitarist for Nine Inch Nails and Guns N' Roses, is 40. And Yunjin Kim, who played Sun on Lost, she is 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lack of commitment from the whole band at the end of that song. It just peters out, doesn't it? It's not good work. Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Andrew Siciliano coming up. Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Right now, anytime now, beer mug. But first, ladies and gentlemen, it is, in fact, the most wonderful time of the year. Look who just walked into the K-Rock studios.
Well, I think it's Miss Double December.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Giant-sized
cannon. She's an angel, and just look at those cannons.
Cannons, people. Big old
she's
movie.
She's got the guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hot.
Yay!
Hi, Christine.
Mug, we're going to need to put the bean creepy filter, I think, on this interview.
How dare you?
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
No idea what's going to come out of his mouth today.
Christine, you've been Miss Double December for 11 months. Have I ever even one time been inappropriate or creepy with you?
No.
Thank you very much.
Didn't you tweet you were going to go jogging or something? And Bean said, why don't you videotape that in slow motion and send it to me?
I said if she videotaped herself jogging, it would burn down the internet. That's all I said. I was just commenting on how popular that would be. How
creepy.
Dare you?
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Come on. This isn't about me. This is not about me. Let's turn our attention to the beautiful young woman next to you, Ralph. Miss Double December, how does it feel coming near the end of your reign?
Well, it's sad, but it's been such a great year that, I mean, it's been completely worth it. So I'm ready to pass the crown.
You were telling us during the song that you're actually getting recognized now when you go out.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, especially Orange County and stuff. It's really cool because I get a lot of Kevin and Bean fans and K-Rock fans that come up, and I think they recognize me from the website and the photo galleries and stuff. So it's really cool because everyone's always so nice.
Do you remember why you decided you wanted to be Miss Double D? Like, what was the driving force for you? Was it the free concerts? Was that what it was?
Ding, ding, ding.
That's fine. I mean, look, whatever your reason is, we don't care. But
That's a great reason to apply, absolutely. There's a lot of perks to come with it.
That was definitely something. But I had always listened to the show, and, like, I went to Cal State Fullerton. I'd always go into, like, Slide Bar and stuff. So I'd been to the pageants before, and I had just kind of considered, like, I think I'll enter. Like, it just seemed like something.
That's what
fun.
I thought when I met you, too, by the way.
Creepy alert.
Creepy alert.
Creepy
alert. Creepy alert. Creepy alert. Creepy alert.
So, the reason I ask what your reason was for entering is, now that you're near the end of your reign, did it live up to your expectations as Miss Double D?
Oh, definitely. It went even beyond. Like, I think I remember Danielle from Miss Double December 2010.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had said one of the great things is just being part of, like, the K-Rock family, the Kevin and Bean family, and how it's really cool, and now it's nice to get concert hookups and things like that, too, but it definitely exceeded my expectations.
Let's talk about some of the events that you won passes to this year. You were at the April Foolishness, of course, Kevin and Bean April Foolishness in April.
Yes, that was so much fun.
The Weenie Roast. Last year's Acoustic Christmas, of course. Yeah. You just went to the Dead Man's Ball a couple of weeks ago, too, right?
Yes, that was a ton of fun with the Tim Burton display and She Wants Revenge, one of my favorite bands. It was so awesome to see.
You were the corpse bride at the event. Yes, that corpse bride has never looked so good, by the way, as your costume.
I know, I was wearing a corset. I think you couldn't tell in the dark, but then when I went in the museum, they were looking at me because I think it was see-through.
Oh!
They were looking at me like,
Yeah.
You also went to... you're welcome to all Kevin Amin events when you're Miss Double December. You did come to Breakfast with Incubus. You were at that.
Oh,
you were at the Breakfast with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I remember seeing you there.
So much fun.
Yeah, so you got to do a lot of good stuff. Tell me about the photo shoots. I've always been curious how these work, because I get the impression that Lightning, God bless him, in the digital department, like every Monday he calls you and goes, hey, Christine, how about some more photos this week?
Some more photos. We need new photos to put up. Can I come over with a banana? Can I come over with a banana and shoot some photos with you?
No, they've been fun.
You are eating a banana in every single photo shoot you've ever done for the website.
That is true.
Someone's got a banana fetish over in our digital department. By the way, if you want to see new, previously unreleased photos of Christine, they're up on the website this morning as well. You can check out the latest photo gallery, and there's some photos that have never been seen before.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah.
And details on the website, and we'll get to them here on the air in a couple of minutes, on how you can be Miss Double December 2012. Which, by the way, if I recall correctly, Ralph, tell me if I'm wrong, isn't the power of Miss Double D transferred in saliva, right?
Yes, it is a magical kiss that transfers the title from one Miss Double December to another. So that will have to happen on our special event.
It's worth entering just to kiss Christine if you're the Miss Double December 2012.
I may enter this year. just hopefully that I would win.
All right, we have to ask, Christine, since you're here, and look, I can't say, as a show host, I can't say that you're my favorite Miss Double D ever, because that's not my place to say, because they've all been lovely, and one of them even let Dave have sex with her, so I mean, she has to have sex. But I'm saying, you seem to be among the most popular we've ever had with our listeners, and I know that they blow up your Twitter, and I know that they're crazy about you, and you're driving all of them insane with the teasing that you've been doing about whatever's going on between you and Playboy. People are like freaking out, going, all right, is this happening? What's going on?
Oh, well, I do. I always participate in the Frisky Fridays.
Yes, you do. If you don't follow Christine, she posts a photo of herself every Friday, usually with very little on.
Sometimes just wearing a hand bra.
Yeah, sometimes wearing her hair. That's all she really wears sometimes.
Yes. I'm a big fan of the hand bra.
Yes, you are.
And so Playboy has been following your tweets, and you guys have been exchanging tweets.
So that's why it was great, because I'd always been a fan of them, but I've never posed nude or anything like that. It's not like, you know, so.
Is there any talks about you appearing in the magazine or on the website or something?
No, like,
seems
I haven't officially submitted pictures or anything like that. Like,
Christine!
I think that's how you do it. Like, I think you submit photos.
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
Fill something out. And, I mean, I guess if I do it, I'll let you know.
Look, you're not getting any younger.
Oh, I know. You're good.
There you go.
Come on,
creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
Yeah. But I follow you on Twitter, too, Miss Christine M on Twitter, and I've seen you say that you have exciting news that you can't reveal yet, but you will soon, and that's what makes me... That's why I always assumed that that's what that was all about.
No. But I wouldn't be opposed to doing that, like... If it was
all right, well, your agent, Ralph Garman, sitting to your right, is going to make sure that those photos and paper get submitted.
I had no idea
but
you hadn't even submitted photos yet.
I was like, there was exciting news, but yes, like, I couldn't say anything, so...
Can you still not say anything about what your exciting news is?
Exactly.
Well, then this is a dead end.
I felt bad when I tweeted that, because I thought, oh, I hate that. Like, I'm one of those people, like...
Yes.
But...
Yeah. You went to the Halloween party up at the Playboy Mansion this year, didn't you?
Yes, that was a lot of fun. I'd gone before, and it's just always such a big party. There's such great music, and it's a good time.
I can't believe Hefner didn't just corner you and offer you a centerfold at that party.
I've never met him or anything.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like, if I...
Well, you should hurry, because he's really not getting any music.
I'm going to get you in the magazine. I had no idea you hadn't even sent your photos in.
Yeah, Ralph's got a lot of connections with
people over there. Let's do it. Why don't you just commit right now and say yes, you want to be in it.
Let's do it.
So, Miss Double December, are you going to be, and we've had this happen in the past, are you going to be one of those girls who, now that you've used up all of your favors on the Kevin and Bean show and you're not Miss Double D anymore, we will never hear from you again? Or are you going to be like the extended family that stays in touch?
Oh, definitely. I'm not going to. I think I get that and people think, no, I think they think I'm just going to disappear. But actually, like, I definitely want to stay active. And
okay.
For sure, albeit all the
because we have some sort of Miss W alumni association, don't we, Rose?
Yeah, a lot of the former misses come back. Danielle, as we mentioned, I see her
Melissa
all the time.
Stays in touch.
Melissa
stays in touch. Yeah, there's been sure. Most of them actually have become part of the family and have stuck around. And it's kind of nice to have a extended family of smoking hot women.
Absolutely. All right, we have to take a break. Christina's here. She is Miss Double December 2011. You hear the year that she's had and how much fun it is. If you want to be Miss Double December 2012 or want to know details about the live broadcast and your chance to come down and watch and see the whole thing, we'll reveal all next right after this on the Kevin. I just heard the words, look at my cartoon proportions, and I knew that Miss Double December 2011 was in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Christine is here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is, in fact, the most wonderful time of the year. We are getting ready to crown Miss Double December 2012, and we want to tell you how it can be you.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Big ones.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Ralph Garman, but the website, krock.com and kevinabean.com, the entries can be now submitted. We are open for business for this year, right?
For the next 2 weeks, we're taking submissions from our listeners, for any of the young ladies out there who would like to participate in this year's competition and would like to be considered as one of the finalists for the Miss Double December competition.
All right, so you have to be 21 or over. You have to complete the submission form, send two photos of yourself. What kinds of things are we going to be looking for? What kind of information do we want from the ladies?
Well, we want them to submit, of course, a couple photos. The best photos you can find, by the way. So every year we get, like, driver's license photos and things that were taken in those booths, you know, where you're for a buck, you know, four come out on the side of the booth. We don't need that. Have someone take a decent shot of you, and then you have to fill out the application, including our questionnaire. We've got five questions that we list there every year. This year, the following question. Need to be answered if you're going to submit. If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title of it be? Gives us an idea if you are a creative or funny person at all. If you have one superpower, what would it be and why? If you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Number four, since Christine did such a great job tweeting this year, we want to know if you can describe yourself in 140 characters or less. And then number five, one of the highlights of the show every year is our talent competition. So we ask, if you are selected as a finalist, you will be asked to perform a talent. What is your talent? So we want you to let us know what stupid human tricks you may be able to do for the entertainment of the drunken audience on that special day.
Christine, do you remember when you sat down to fill out your questionnaire? Was it something that you took seriously, you spent a lot of time on, or something you just dashed off the top of your head?
Well, I think coming up with the talent and stuff like that.
For those who don't remember, Christine's talent last year was she would open twist off beer bottles with her boobs.
Okay, all right.
Which always made me very nervous because I just imagined a sprung silicone leak someplace, and then us rushing her to the plastic surgeon's office.
And then you're disqualified and ineligible.
Yeah, and then you're all lopsided.
You
got a flat tire on one side and the other one's fully inflated. That wouldn't work at all.
So you can go to krock.com this week and next week. We close, I guess, at the end of the show a week from Friday, November 18th at 10 is when we stop the submissions. And then we take them all to the lab over the weekend. And then on the following Monday, right, Ralph, we unveil the top 10 finalists. And that's when we invite the K-Rock listeners to go to the website and vote. And they vote. And, of course, their vote is going to be part of the final decision-making process. Christine, did you expect to win? Did you think you might make the top 10? What were your thoughts as you entered?
I had no idea. I really just thought, I'm just going to enter, have fun with it. I thought if anybody got, like, my sense of humor or seriously, it'd be
Kevin and
Bean listeners. So, yeah.
Although
I just kind of thought, I'll just do it, have fun, and see what happens. But, no, I wasn't expecting to win.
I have to say on our behalf regarding your sense of humor, when we first saw your photos, when you first applied, we were like, wow, this girl is hot. But do we really want to spend a year with one of these stuck-up girls who is way hot and knows it and makes everyone's life a living hell? And to our surprise and relief, you have been such a sweetheart and so fun to be around and so funny and so very relaxed and normal and modest, and it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Thank you.
Now, we're very excited to say that we are going back to Fullerton this year. They really are our home away from home when it comes to big boobs. We're talking about the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. They have been our hosts for many years for the live webcast and for hosting the thousands of people that come out every year. I mean, we couldn't ask for a better location than those guys in Fullerton. They really are the best. And this is going to be one of those deals where you want to get down there and get down there early if you want to get anywhere near the stage to see the Miss Double D pageant. Once again, Ralph, if I understand correctly, the Marines, United States Marine Corps, are going to be down there doing Toys for Tots. Us, right? We do ask that you bring a new unwrapped toy as your admittance. That is the only entry fee to get into the live broadcast. And best of all, if you can't be there, the whole thing will be webcast. And it is the biggest Kevin and Bean event that we do all year, which I think is kind of an insult if you're like Coldplay. Can you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning and come in and play on our show and then Miss Double D like dwarfs it and people who tune in?
But nobody wants to see a photo of Chris Martin wearing our bumper sticker over his nipples taking a picture of himself in the mirror, okay? Nobody wants to see that.
So all of these details, whether you want to be a Miss Double D summer contestant this year or you just want details about how it all works, you want to be able to play along, vote at home when the photos go live, or come down and see the broadcast in person. All of the information you need is at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. So, Christine, I guess we'll see you again in a couple of weeks when we do this all over again, right? Thanks so much for coming in. It's great to see you. Congratulations.
You.
You have been a fantastic Miss Double D summer. Ralph's not joking, man. We've really come to love you. We've really enjoyed spending so much time with you, too. So
thank you so much.
And
if you want to resubmit under an assumed name, and we can pretend we never met you before. Yeah. Oh, you look just like that other girl that won last year, Wendy.
I like it. This is the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. All this week, we are hooking you up with tickets for the Disneyland Resort Park Hopper. You know what that is? That's where you go to the California Adventure and you go to Disneyland and you get to see them both and it's all for free.
Yeah, we
have those for you all week long. You can go to KROQ.com for more details. Did you lose a significant other to a member of the same sex? How's that going? That's going to be the topic we talk about coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, time for a brand new Bean's Desk.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I take a lot of heat from people on this show and also from the listeners for Bean's Death Corner, but I look at it as I'm doing a public service announcement, Lisa. This is really a cautionary tale. When you hear me tell the stories about the way that these people died, you make a mental note, hey, don't do that.
Okay.
Don't you see that? I'm trying to help people out here.
All right.
For instance, we start in Florida. Donald Mason is his name. He was in the process of renovating a new home that he had built. It needed quite a bit of work, and it's a very expensive process to renovate a home. Anyone who's ever done any kind of home improvements knows that that can add up pretty quickly. Well, one of the jobs he decided to do was he was going to set up a fog spray to try to get rid of his bee problem in the upstairs bedroom. There were apparently some bees living behind the walls, so he thought, no problem, that's something I don't need to call a professional. I can handle that.
Oh, no.
So he pokes a hole in the wall, and he puts in a fog spray, and then he tapes the hole back up. Well, apparently the bees were not pleased. So the bees came out of the wall, and apparently he got into some sort of a struggle with the bees that ended up with him falling off a chair in the upstairs bedroom, falling to the ground, and either dying from the fall or dying from the 60,000 bees in the house that stung him.
60,000?
Yeah, they called a professional exterminator after he was dead and after his teenage daughter discovered his body.
Oh, no.
And he estimated that there were around 60,000 bees in the home. He probably thought there was a little wasp back there with like 30 bees and it was something that he could take care of. I don't know. Maybe one of those things where you go, perhaps best left to the professionals.
Yeah. All right, I'm making a note.
Now we move on to Western New York near Syracuse, I believe. 74-year-old Jack Farley. I feel so bad for him. His little dog ran away from him, Lisa. So he did what any person would do, and he got in his car and went looking for his dog around the neighborhood.
Okay.
Well, he got to a certain point not far from his home where he stopped his car and got out to go over to the side of the road and look down the street for his dog and to call out his dog's name. Well, what Mr. Farley forgot to do was put the car in park. It was, in fact, still in reverse, and it rolled backwards, knocked him down with the open car door, then ran over him and killed him.
Oh, God.
The dog was found later, has been returned to the family. The dog is fine, except for the crushing guilt that he will feel every day for the rest of his life
because
he ran away, and his owner died looking for him.
Oh.
So don't do that.
Don't do
go
that.
Go ahead and put the car in park before you get out to look. Here's a bizarre story, and you're not going to believe that this headline comes out in 2011, but here's a German couple going on the vacation of a lifetime. They took several months off, or so they thought, to live in the beautiful French Polynesian Islands. What's down there? Is that that's down like where Tahiti is and stuff, right?
I think that's right.
They were going to be doing some surfing and doing some boating and doing some diving. They'd only been there for a few days when the man went out on a guided tour goat hunting. The guide came back and told his girlfriend there's been a terrible accident. Here's the way the story picks up in the Telegraph newspaper in Britain. After a week of searches, charred human remains and clothes have been found near a campfire in a remote valley on the island, raising fears that the German man, the tourist, visiting French Polynesia, may have been attacked and eaten by cannibals. Apparently, cannibalism still happens in some places in the world, although it has been illegal for some time. There are still native tribes in French Polynesia who enjoy it.
What the hell?
That's not in the brochure. That's not your hope when
Isn't
you take
that
time
why
off.
You have a guide to guide you away from the cannibals?
Yes, you would certainly think so. Exactly, right. Here's a bizarre story that has a little bit of a celebrity connection to it. Do you guys remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Beer Mug, you may be too young to remember Jeffrey Dahmer. You've certainly heard the name, though,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Late 80s, very early 90s, he was an extremely prolific serial killer. I think he worked out of Wisconsin. He ended up killing 17 boys. He would go out and he would pick up a teenager, bring him back to the apartment, and then he would kill him and in some cases eat him. When they arrested him, they found him with some body parts chopped up in his freezer. Well, Tracy Edwards was the name of the guy who led police to Jeffrey Dahmer. He was to be Jeffrey Dahmer's 18th victim, yet he was able to get away and run to the police and say, this guy tried to kill me, I can take you to him, and that's how they discovered Jeffrey Dahmer. That happened back in 1991. Now he is in the news, still living in Wisconsin, where he has been arrested and charged with his own murder after an altercation on a bridge in Milwaukee where he pushed a man off and he fell to his death.
Oh my God.
I don't know what the symmetry is of that, but he was this close to being Jeffrey Dahmer's 18th victim, and now he's behind bars as a murderer his own self. Very strange story.
Yes, very ironic.
And finally, we go to Mr. Channing Askew is his name. He's a Chicagoland man, 47 years old, living in a group home, complaining of chest pains. Paramedics were called. Well, the paramedics showed up. They loaded a man into the hospital. He starts having trouble breathing. They rip his shirt off to do CPR, and they find out that he has chest wounds where he had at some point apparently tried to remove his pacemaker himself.
Oh.
I don't know if it was just he was so uncomfortable he didn't want to wait another minute until the doctors got there, but it just doesn't seem like you're thinking very rationally if you think that removing your pacemaker is something that's going to make you feel better, right? So don't try to remove your own pacemaker. Don't throw anyone off a bridge. Don't get run over by your own car. Don't get stung to death by 60,000 bees. And whatever you do, don't get eaten by cannibals. This is the advice that I'm giving you here today, and this has been an all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Are we the, I can't remember, are we the station that everyone can agree on at work? Is that us?
Yes, that's us.
It is us. Okay, mm-hmm. We do have the Killers coming up, also some Bush, White Stripes, and of course Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Well, before I get to Showbiz News, I've got something cool to give away. You may have heard the spots we're running here on the station regarding the fact that Kevin and myself are going to be hosting a poker tournament. It is the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino 10K Poker Play. Winner of the tournament will win $10,000.
Yay!
And it's free to enter. You just go to krock.com now if you want to sign up for your spot to play. It's Thursday, November the 17th. Kevin and I will both be hosting and playing in the poker tournament.
Okay, now I've never been to these, so let me ask this question. Does that mean you could win the $10,000?
I apparently, according to the people at San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino, not eligible to win the $10,000.
Okay.
So I play just for pride.
I see.
Because last time we did this, I knocked Kevin out, and that made me laugh for the better part of an entire year. So here we go again. We're playing on Thursday, November 17th, which is my birthday, too, by the way.
Oh, how about that?
So bring lots of cash to buy me drinks, because I do not expect to pay for a drink for the remainder of the evening. If you'd like to play, as I mentioned, you can go to krock.com and sign up for your spot to play. It is free, and you could win $10,000. But if you'd like to play at my table,
I've got pairs of tickets to give away to people who can come and bring a friend and actually sit at my table and play with me and be dazzled by my my poker acumen and my poker face, my poker face. If you'd like to come play with me at my table, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Let's say caller number 17. Since it's November 17th is the event, caller number 17 will win a pair of passes to not only play in the poker tournament, but sit at my very table.
Nice.
And I'll be giving away tickets to sit at Kevin's table as well. So it'll be very entertaining.
I need meat.
Yeah, we know, Kevin. We're working on that for you. I'm inviting some fellows to come play in the tournament. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Puss in Boots takes the crown over the weekend. $34 million the 3D movie made over this weekend. A lot of people going to see it. A lot of kids like that Puss in Boots. Now, Puss Out of Boots, that's sexy. But Puss in Boots is just a rollicking entertainment film. The Tower Heist, the debut of that film, made $24.6 million. That was good enough to make it number two this weekend. Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas. In its debut, made $13 million. That was number three. Paranormal Activity 3 was fourth, and then In Time came in at number five. Footloose, Real Steel, The Rum Diary, Ides of March, and Moneyball, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Avril Lavigne has not been on her best behavior. According to TMZ.com, she got into a fight with another woman outside of the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel about 1 a.m. yesterday morning. Word is her boyfriend, Brody Jenner, got the worst of it. He was trying to break the girls up, and someone cracked him in the head with a bottle.
Oh. Dude.
That is not good for you.
I couldn't be happier to hear who it happened to, though.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. The cops were called, and both the girls split, leaving Brody behind. cops showed up, and they determined that Brody was the victim of an assault with a deadly weapon. So they're still looking to find out who did that to him. He refused medical attention at the scene, but where does he hit up the ER on the way home? I guess he said, you know what? I should probably check to see if I have my skull cracked by a bottle.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm gonna do that.
I can't believe that's not on tape, by the way. Isn't Brody Jenner Kim Kardashian's stepbrother?
Yes, he is the son of Bruce Jenner.
Her stepfather, right.
With another woman, not Kris Jenner, yes.
So, yeah, so I'm just surprised that the whole family doesn't have tape running, you know, 24/7.
Oh, no. The life for Bruce Jenner did not exist before Kris Jenner. That's the only thing they document. They don't care who he was married to before.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It's all Kardashian all the time with that family. He was, though, in The Hills, though, right? Wasn't he Lauren's
yes,
boyfriend
it was The Hills.
On that hill?
Exactly, yeah.
Show? And while we're talking about TMZ, which, of course, is the fountain of all celebrity information, it really never ceases to amaze me, the stories that they get and stories that they break. They've got a story this morning on TMZ.com confirming that Justin Bieber will reportedly take his DNA test to prove that he is not the father of the baby of Mariah Yeater, as she claims. He is going to take the DNA test and then slap her with a lawsuit. That seems to be the plan. He'll probably carry it in his hand as he goes into the lab. Apparently they found a lab, he's going to take the test, and then we'll know shortly thereafter if he indeed is
They're going to do it on Maury, though, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
They have
you
to, right?
You are not the father.
Now, Ralph, you'll know this because you certainly have been involved in a lot of paternity suits.
What the?
What do you give for a paternity test? It's not the thing, is it? Is it just hair or something?
No,
or?
They swab the inside of your mouth.
Oh, is that all
they
it
take
is?
A okay. swab and it just scrapes some cells off of the inside of your mouth, which apparently slough off very easily, and they use those cells to break down and get a sample of your DNA, and then they compare it with the DNA of the child. And if you have similar DNA strains, they can determine whether you are half responsible for that child or not.
I am glad that he is going to sue her, by the way. If his version of the story is true, that this never happened, I'm glad to see that person being sued for dragging him into this. And I would say that about any celebrity.
His entire life, he has done nothing but do his show, get in the limo, and go back to the hotel. He's never spent any time backstage with any woman, and so he said this is just simply impossible. Although it would be so funny if it was true.
It would.
And it would be good for him, because then it would prove that he has genitals, which mm-hmm. a lot of us have doubted for many years, so we'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christopher Knight. He was, of course, Peter Brady on the long-running TV series The Brady Bunch, 54 years old today. Morgan Spurlock, documentarian, is 41 years old today. Robin Fink of Nine Inch Nails and Guns N' Roses turns 40 today. The Jeremy and Jason London boys, both actors in their own right, 39 years old today. Yeonjun Kim.
Hey!
from Law. She played Sun on that very popular TV program. She's 38. And legendary porn star Paris Showers.
Oh, yeah.
Star of such films as Barely Legal 23 and Backseat Driver 15. She is 28 years old today. Bean, you gave your wife a Paris Shower when you guys were on vacation.
It was something completely different, though. We just walked in the rain, that's all.
I was confused. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ on a Monday morning. Are the really hot chicks even up yet? Is it worth even promoting the Miss Double December?
Yeah, they just got up. They all get up at 8.
They're just getting up. Yeah. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Yeah. If you think you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2012, look down before you decide. Then you should go to KROQ.com right now. We're looking for ladies who are 21 or over. You can fill out the entry form, send in a couple of photos, and then we're going to get back in touch and select our top 10. I guess you have 2 weeks to get your submission in. Then we select the top 10, and then the K-Rock listeners all get to vote. And then, of course, we do the pageant again this year to crown Miss Double December 2012, and that's going to be on December 2nd. Our friends at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton are going to be having us down again. Again, December 2nd. That's a day worth taking off work and coming on down and being part of the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good time right there. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Ralph, you brought up an interesting story involving our friend Kelly Osbourne the other day. What's going on with her?
Yeah, her fiancé, Luke Worrell, they split up, and it was fairly public when it all ended, but I had no idea until she was giving an interview that the reason the relationship ended was not only that he was unfaithful, but that apparently he was unfaithful with a pre-op transsexual. This was a woman that, by all outwardly appearances, not all of them, but from most outwardly appearances, appears to be a woman, but still has a functioning penis. And so Kelly was saying how devastating it was to lose her significant other to a member of the same sex as that person. Because in essence, technically, Luke was being with a man who just looked very, very feminine. And so we were having the conversation after I read the story that, in fact, isn't it better to lose your significant other to someone of the same sex? Because really, you are then taken out of the competition. It's not about any shortcomings that you may have, other than the fact you don't have a penis. But it's not like he said, oh, I found a better woman than you. I want to be with her. He obviously had a hankering for something that you could not provide, and that was purely biological, so really through no fault of yours. I mean, in this case, probably, don't get me wrong, Kelly Osbourne, I can imagine, is just hell to be around and would be a freaking nightmare as a girlfriend, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. But ordinarily, if someone leaves you for someone of the same sex, it's pretty much out of your control.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about this. I've thought about this because I'm in a loveless marriage, as you know, Ralph.
Yes.
And my wife has some very close girlfriends. And I've thought about, I wonder if Donna were to leave me for another woman, would I somehow feel like I wasn't to blame because, like you said, I don't have the parts, I'm not a woman? Or would I feel like I'm so heinous as a man that I have driven her away from my entire sex and forced her to look for anything as far apart from what I am as possible?
It's hard to apply your particular situation to this conversation because Donna could leave you for anything, like for like a trash can or
a butterfly,
a VW Beetle or a man or a woman or a yak. And really, no one would bat an eye. Well, of course. Anything would be preferable than to be with Bean. So it's kind of hard to compare those situations.
Well, all right. Let's put it another way. Lisa, let's say you've had a long-term boyfriend now for a number of years. If he came to you and said, hey, I'm leaving you for a dude, is that once you get past the initial, you know, sadness of breaking up a long-term relationship, better or worse for you to lose him to a man?
That's interesting. I mean, in terms of me feeling like I'm not enough of a woman, that would be better. But on the other side of the coin is the fact that someone has been lying to me all this time about who they are, and I didn't figure it out. Like, where's my gaydar? It would be hard to trust.
Well, doesn't
my
necessarily
own
mean he's gay if he leaves you for a man, because obviously if he could be with you, he's got some bisexual tendencies,
right,
to him, right?
But
because most gay people couldn't most gay men couldn't possibly imagine being with you, just because the idea of being with a woman to them is just anathema.
But I think for men, it's harder to cross over the line, generally speaking.
Like, you think there are more bisexual women than there are bisexual men?
I do. I think it's a lot easier for women to dance back and forth over the line than men.
But you would, at some point, it would become hilarious to you, and it would be a story you would tell at every party. You're not going to believe it. My boyfriend left me for another man. And you would, at some point, find it funny, right?
Yeah, I think you actually would at
some
point.
I would find it funny right away, by the way.
All right, what about your wife leaves you for a lady, Ralph? How do you feel? Sign me up, get me in?
Yeah, I'm holding the camera, I guess. You know, that's me. I don't know. I've had so many ridiculous sexual experiences over the course of my life that I don't think anything would really faze me so much. And the best part about being married to me is my wife would never have to leave me to be with another woman. You know, it'd be like,
that's true. Yeah,
we have some room at the house. We can just move her in. I mean, I'll be fine with that. Just, you know.
A man should not be judged by what he does with a fellow man's butt.
Okay, we're gonna take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for a situation where you had somebody leave you for a member of the same sex. Or, I guess, in the case of the Kelly Osbourne story, someone of both sexes.
best of both worlds right there.
1-800-520-1067. Let's take Seth real quick before the break, before we come back with your calls. He's on line one. Hi, Seth. Thanks for calling. You were Johnny on the spot here, man. When we started talking about this, the phone lit right up. Is this a fresh wound for you?
No, it's actually a few years old, but it's just, this is a story that I've told a couple times, and it usually beats almost any other story that I have, so...
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Well, my first girlfriend, when I was 15, she left me... We dated for 6 months, and then she left me for a girl. And so that was...
When you were 15?
Yeah, when I was 15.
That's a pretty impressionable age. That must have rocked your world a little bit.
It did, and it was a little hard for me to get back on the horse. But then I started dating again, and my third girlfriend, who's actually Chip's little sister...
Oh, Chip, our phone screener, Chip's little sister?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. All right. All right, what happened?
She left me for another girl.
Oh, dude. At this point, dude, girlfriend. It's you.
Wait a minute. The girl she left you for ended up being your first girlfriend?
Yes.
What?
So it came full circle. The first woman that left you for a woman and then Chip's sister who left you for a woman, they ended up together.
They did. And
that's fantastic.
That's a tough day at school when you have to come in and you see your two ex-girlfriends making out in the band room.
Jerry!
Seth, wow. Not to make you feel worse, Seth, but they spend so much time laughing talking about you.
Why are you such a horrible lover?
I have no idea.
I mean, something's going on where they go, seriously, a chick would be better than this.
Or maybe it's just that after me, there's just no man that could replace me.
Yeah, that's true. They have to move on to completely new sex because it's been ruined.
All right, let me ask you one more question. I'm so glad you called with this, Seth. This is a great way to kick off the topic. And that is, what about, address what Lisa said, which is, did you doubt yourself? Like, did you afterwards go, wow, why didn't I pick up on those signals?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was tough at first, and it took me a couple of years before I could start joking about it.
But and then
I realized that both of them were crazy, so...
Well, bitches be crazy. We all know that. But then when it happens again, you have to be... At that point, you have to at least a little bit think it's me, right?
You go into therapy, then.
I take a questionnaire before I date another girl. You know, have you ever been with or would like to be with another woman? If so, no.
So, yes. That's the wrong answer you're looking for in the questionnaire. That's the problem.
Seth, thanks a lot for the call, man. Thanks for listening. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next. You had somebody leave you for a member of the same sex. We'll come back on the Kevin. Barbie Levin will tell us about Lindsay Lohan going in and out of jail, Justin Bieber's paternity suit, and Kim Kardashian visiting Chris Humphries in Minnesota over the weekend. Talk of a reconciliation, Ralph. Have you heard that?
I will hunt her down and slaughter her. Like the pig that she is.
We'll talk to Harvey from TMZ.com coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, we're talking about you had a significant other, husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, leave you for a member of the same sex. It happened to Kelly Osbourne. She revealed in an interview recently. Let's find out if it happened to you, too. And why don't we start with Mary? Mary is on line three here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Mary. Thanks a lot for calling. What happened?
Actually, my story is kind of the opposite. I left my boyfriend for another woman.
Ah, fantastic.
I left him for his best friend's girlfriend. We left both our guys and got together.
Wait. His best friend had a girlfriend, and he was dating you, and you girls got together and left the boys behind.
Well, kind of. His best friend basically had the opinion that we didn't necessarily need to break up, that we could just all have fun and everything was fine. And I was kind of okay with that, and then my boyfriend wasn't. He didn't really want to let me have any fun. So
coward.
I
Sexual coward.
He couldn't handle it. He said it was horrible. It was like I cheated. And so I told him to shove it, and her and I went off, and we dated for months. You know, we still are good friends. We still get together every once in a while when we're bored, and it's been great.
Now, are you still interested in men as well as women?
Yep. I actually am... kind of in a relationship right now with the guy. I've been together with him for a couple months. We're pretty serious, but she's my second ex-girlfriend.
Well, there you go.
She's like Eli Manning. She can see the entire field, Ralph.
God bless her.
All right, one last question. I'm so glad you called. Did you think that you were attracted to women already before you met this girl that you ended up leaving your boyfriend for? Or was it because of her that you started thinking, hey, I like women too?
I think it was a lot because of her, because I played around in college a bit, whatever, it's what we all do. But with her, she was the first girl that I actually considered a relationship with. And honestly, if my boyfriend at the time hadn't been such a jerk about it, I probably wouldn't have gone as far as I did. But he definitely like played a huge part in kind of pushing me.
Yeah, he and forced you out.
Yeah, she was really sweet and really nice and really cute. So
I love you so much, Mary. I really do. I love you. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
I think a lot of times it is chemistry with the person that you meet, regardless of their sexuality, that leads you to leave a relationship one or the other. Because why does anyone leave anyone? You know, why does a guy leave his girlfriend for another girl? It's because there's some sort of connection there he has with that person that he doesn't have with the one he's with.
Sure, yeah. Let's try Lauren, line two. Lauren, by the way, all ladies calling on this topic, interestingly enough. We haven't had any guys to call, in this segment anyway. Hey, Lauren, what's going on? What happened?
So I was with my boyfriend for about 6 years, and I went on his computer one day, and I found somebody trying to download gay porn from him. So I went through his files, and I found, 5 gigs of just gay porn on his computer, and I was like, what the hell? So, a few weeks after that, I started getting weird random phone calls, and it wasn't a big deal because our phone numbers were one digit apart, so I figured it was just, a wrong dial. Well, it kept happening and happening and happening, and every time I would answer the phone, the person would either say hello and hang up, or he would ask for my boyfriend and hang up, and come to find out, it was his current boyfriend who was stalking me. Because my boyfriend called his new boyfriend that we had broken up while he was leading me on.
You're giving me a brain cramp here. So he was dating a guy behind your back.
Pretty much.
And what happened when the relationship ended? Did he go off with this guy?
Yeah, they're still together. They've been together for about 3 or 4 years now. They live together.
Why didn't just break up with you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Why did he?
Why did he have to just leave me out?
Especially with that voice. How did he not leave earlier?
I know.
Jesus,
she's so charming. Hey, Lauren, wouldn't you say the message of this story for ladies listening is don't snoop through your significant other's computer? Right?
Well, I wasn't snooping at first.
Yeah, you were snooping, and you know what? At least admit it.
Snooping. Don't snoop. All right.
Somebody was downloading gay porn from him
because
it was on like a peer-to-peer sharing site.
Yeah,
I don't like you. I got no time for you. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. All right, let's try Aaron. There's the dude we were looking for on line three. Aaron, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What happened to you, my friend?
Hold on, they didn't put him on hold. There you go. Here he is.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello.
Hey, Aaron. What happened?
I was dating a girl for about 2 years. Really love the chick a lot. She started dating one of my buddy's friends, kind of under the table. She kind of came out to me and said, hey, you know, I don't want to be with you anymore. I met this girl, da da da, and I was like, hey, you know, it's okay with me. I can do that, you know?
Right.
You do kind of sound like a quitter, though. Am I right? Yeah. Doesn't he sound like a kind of a quitter? Like he's just lucky to get a girl. Yeah. A little lucky to get a girl in the first place anyway. So did she end up leaving you for the other girl, or did you manage to make it work as a happy threesome?
I managed to make it work for a little while, but she kind of wanted to be into that more. Better yet, she called me about a year down the line. She was still with her and still kind of came my way.
Oh, okay.
So she started cheating on the girl back with you again.
Exactly, Ralph.
Yeah.
We still kind of talk. She still has my number. You know, I've known her since I was like 14 years old.
Awesome. Here's the thing. Yeah. I've always said monogamy is just causes more problems than it helps, really, quite frankly.
Hey, you always got to have good friends, right?
That's right.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. I think the girl that Aaron's girlfriend left him for, it was more of a man than Aaron was. That's my sense right there.
Oh,
right.
Ouch. Oh.
Let's do one more, and it's going to be Larissa, like that's a name. She's on line one. Larissa, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, Larissa. Hi,
what's up?
All right. So I was with my boyfriend for about a year and a half in high school, and I ended up leaving him for another woman. He doesn't even know to this day, but my girlfriend works at Subway, So he goes in all the time and sees her. And so it's very awkward for her.
Oh,
and
snap.
I don't know if he saw my Facebook, maybe, because he gives her dirty looks, but they haven't really spoken about it.
That's awesome. Why is it a year and a half later, you or however long it's been, you don't want him to know that you left him for another girl? Why is it a secret?
It's been 4 years, and I just haven't talked to him, and I haven't seen him.
Well, what did you tell him at the time?
I just flat out broke up with him because I was cheating on him with her. So
right, but so when you told him I'm leaving you, we're breaking up, didn't he ask why?
He did, but I just gave him some excuse and just said, I don't want to be with you anymore. Yeah. Just flat out left him.
Yeah, you're a sweetie.
So do you think he knows when he goes in and sees the girl? Do you think he figured it out?
I think he does. He gives her dirty looks. Yeah. So maybe he knows.
That's because he's always trying to push the tuna sub on him.
And he came in for the sausage.
That's right. He wanted the BMT. And all she talks about is tuna.
That's right. All right, Larissa, thanks for the call. Harvey from TMZ.com coming up next. Monday means Harvey Levin, busiest man in show business from TMZ.com. Harvey, much going on right now.
We had the busiest. We kicked ass this weekend. Did you see the website?
Oh, yeah, of course. Harvey, I check the website every hour, dude. Seriously, I'm always impressed.
Tomorrow is our 6th anniversary on TMZ.com.
Congratulations.
Wow.
And we had the staff did an amazing job. We broke so many stories over the last 3 days.
Harvey, I know this is off topic, but you must be worth hundreds of millions of dollars at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But, I mean, this is your baby. Aren't you? You are TMZ, dude.
Okay, what do you want from me now?
hundreds of millions of dollars for starters. Yeah. All right, let's talk about what made you famous, and that's breaking all these stories. Why don't we back up to Friday? Because after we were off the air on Friday, you had Justin Bieber on the TMZ Live show that you do on the website every day.
Right.
And the story has been developing, I guess, with this alleged baby mama. You broke news to him. I didn't see the show, but tell me how that conversation went.
Well, we found out that this woman who's been accusing him of, you know, being the baby daddy, she made the same allegation against her boyfriend last year. And then when it didn't go well, when he said, no, that can't be, she allegedly went nuts, hit him, tore his house apart, and now she's being charged with criminal battery. So she first made the allegation against this guy, which totally blows her credibility up.
Totally blows it. Yeah. Totally,
and so we told him about this on TMZ Live. We got him to call in, broke it to him. And it was so interesting. I mean, all he really said was, wow. But then, you know, he's only 17, but the kid is kind of like, he lives between the lines, and he doesn't like get emotionally crazily excited, nor does he get that depressed, it seems, which is really unusual for, like, you know, somebody 17. I was really shocked at his reaction.
Now, is it true what we're hearing, and I guess it must be because we saw it on the site, that his plan is to give the DNA sample as requested and then to sue the pants off the...
Absolutely.
Well, bad choice of terms, I guess. But, I mean, if she made this whole thing up, he should sue her and he should win.
I'll tell you what happened. Last Friday, Justin Bieber's lawyer, Howard Weitzman, called the lawyers for this woman and basically said, not only are we going to take the DNA test, we've already selected the lab that Justin's in Europe. He's coming back in 2 weeks. We're going to take the test. And then we are going to file a lawsuit against this woman because the reason they're going to do it, it's really Justin and the team made this decision, is that they don't want celebrities to be these easy targets where people can make any claim against them, and then it's almost like extortion where, you know, you pay a lot of money to make it go away.
Right.
And he wants to set an example of this thing, and he's going to go after it. He's not going to get any money, obviously, but he wants to, you know, Tom Cruise did this against the magazines when they suggested he was gay, and he went after them and won, and a lot of those things stopped. A lot of those stories stopped. So, you know, that kind of thing can have an impact. He's going to do it.
What would the last question on Justin, then we'll move on, but what would the incentive be for this young woman to claim the Justin Bieber paternity if they never even had sex or even met?
Because a lot of times what you want to do in these cases, I mean, what these lawyers want to do is they'll want a quick end to it, so the person settles. And, you know, rather than getting a lot of bad publicity, they settle up. And, you know, that's, you know, you can get nuisance lawsuits are, you know, that's the way the legal system works right now. And he is just not going to stand for it. And he's and apparently now it sounds to me like her lawyers are backtracking because we got a statement from them today. Finally, they went underground over the weekend, and now they're saying, "Well, we filed this in good faith." When you say stuff like that, you're backpedaling.
Yeah,
fantastic. All right, speaking of the weekend, you had cameras all over Kim Kardashian's surprise trip to Minnesota. What's going on?
Well, actually, we got a tip that she was at the Minnesota airport. We got a picture, and we weren't sure it was Kim. I was able to make some phone calls. We found out that it was indeed Kim, and what happened is this, that she wanted to meet with Chris Humphries. He really wanted to meet with her face-to-face, and very emotional, and she wants to at least resolve this thing. She's apparently still conflicted. It's not like there's going to be a reconciliation. He wants one, but you know, she's just not sure, so they met with their pastor for a bunch of hours yesterday. She has come back now. My guess is there will not be a reconciliation. A lot of people still think it's phony, that they're just doing it for the cameras. I think she's just been hammered in the press, and I think it's really taken its toll. I got to tell you, my gut on this thing, I can be really skeptical. I kind of believe that when she got engaged to this guy, she really thought he was the guy, and then it wasn't going to work out, and she kind of knew it, but the marriage was a runaway train, and
right,
she just should have stopped it and never did.
Well, I think obviously everything is magnified a millionfold because they're on television and because she's a celebrity. But I think a lot of people get caught up in the idea of, ooh, this could be the one and I really want to get married. So I'm just going to kind of overlook the obvious questions that I should be asking to determine whether we're actually compatible to be married or not.
And sometimes you know it, but you think, oh my God, well, look how many people we invited and they're flying in. And in her case, okay, it's on television. We spent $10 million. It's just, you know, all this publicity. How do I get out? And then you end up just doing it because of inertia when you know you shouldn't have done it.
And you don't want to piss off Ryan Seacrest either. You know,
you do not want to piss off Ryan.
The TV time book. All right, last question for you, Harvey. I imagine Lindsay Lohan is now settling into her cell and she has a very long, strenuous 30 days ahead of her in jail, right?
Sure. She went to the tasting kitchen in Venice last night. She went to jail, and then she went home and went to bed. and that was 30 days.
Oh, my God.
No, here's the twist in this thing. It's true. I mean, we told you guys this last week. She got 30 days, but 30 days in L.A. County Jail because of overcrowding is a couple of hours where you get processed in and out. So she was basically treated the way everybody else was. But here's the twist. The judge knew this. I mean, the judge knew she wasn't going to spend much time. But what the judge did was she said, okay, this has never happened to you before, Lindsay, but I'm giving you a schedule. Every month, here's how much community service you have to complete. If you don't complete month to month what I tell you to do, you will automatically get 270 days. So the judge now has given her a specific set of guidelines and says, if you violate any of them, you're going to jail for 270. If it's 270 days, she has to actually serve 20% of that, which is 54 days. So I think what the judge really did was give Lindsay just enough rope to hang herself. And, you know, she has never complied with any requirement before, it seems. And, you know, now she feels like she got away with it again. And I think that this is kind of justice delayed, but it's not justice denied.
You can keep up with all these stories, obviously, with the late-breaking Conrad Murray trial in the jury's hand. You can follow all that as well at TMZ.com 24/7 and check your local listings for TMZ Television. When in Hollywood, be sure to take the TMZ tour. Happy anniversary in advance. 6 years, Harvey. Great work, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
You get a $100 GameStop gift card. GameStop, joy to the players. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Joy to the players is what they're going with?
GameStop!
Andrew Siciliano joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Recap of this weekend's NFL games and a look ahead at the powerhouse Monday night matchup tonight. The 3-4 Eagles versus the 4-3 Bears.
Hey, listen, douchey. Both of those teams are on the upswing. This is an important game for both of them in their divisions. This is a marquee matchup.
No, a lot of people care deeply about this one. So
yeah,
we'll talk to Andrew.
Seattle, why don't you go about lick it, Seattle.
Hey, I'm 2-6 and lucky to be 2-6, dude. Andrew joins us after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Philadelphia Eagles are tied for second place in their division, Bean. Now what? Now what do you got? Now what?
I hear you.
You don't hear me.
That's great news for Eagles fans. But I'm talking about to the country at large. Oh, keyboard cat.
Playing you off. You've been played off.
That hurts me.
Goodbye, sir. Talk about the showbiz news today, shall we? First off, we always take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office every Monday morning. Puss in Boots
in 3D was $34 million strong this weekend. Made it number one. Tower Heist, in its debut, $24.6 million. It was good enough to make it number two. Then Harold and Kumar's 3D Christmas came in at three. Paranormal Activity was third in time. I'm sorry, Paranormal Activity 3 was fourth. In Time was fifth. Then Footloose, Real Steel, The Rum Diary, Ides of March, and Moneyball rounding out the top ten.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
You take an Asian guy.
Right.
And an Indian guy.
Yes.
Marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarity then ensues.
Right. Where's your question?
It's a good one.
Heard you talking to Harvey Levin there from TMZ about Lindsay Lohan and her jail time. The New York Post has got a great story this morning about the Lindsay being up to her old tricks again. Apparently, she crashed the after party at the premiere of J. Edgar last Thursday.
Oh, the Leo movie, right?
Leonardo DiCaprio, Clint Eastwood's story of J. Edgar Hoover, the man who pretty much single-handedly created the FBI. They had the premiere, and so she didn't have an invitation to the after party, but she argued with security about getting in, was relentless, dropped several big names, even pleaded, according to onlookers, that she needed to get in and see Leo.
Oh, wow.
See, pretentious douchebags who call Leonardo DiCaprio Leo. they can throw that name around and see if it does anything for him. Well, apparently one of the hired guns at the door buckled and let her in. And then, once inside, attendees say she made everybody uncomfortable, was aggressive and mean, stormed around the party.
No kidding.
Tried to talk to Leo and Clint and got blown off by both of them. They both walked away when they saw her.
Let's face it.
Bet you got no class.
They're both smart enough to know if you see Lindsay Lohan coming at you, you turn the other way.
Yeah, she might as well just start going to parties with Gary Busey and Charlie Sheen. They should just travel as a threesome and see how people react to seeing them walk through the door.
How is she so clueless about everything, Ralph?
It comes from an entire life of privilege and not functioning in the real world. Yeah. Look, since she's been a little girl, she has been catered to and handled and driven to events and provided with exclusive access and given money, and she has no practical skills how to operate in the real world. I think her radar has just been permanently damaged.
And she's never had a real job, and now she can't act, so she can't do anything.
Yeah. I think her situation is dire only because it's not like she can go back to the behavior she had before she became a star like many adult actors can.
Right. Good point.
She's screwed. And Arnold Schwarzenegger may be one of the richest men in show business, but apparently he's not too good to hit up the occasional Walmart. Folks shopping at Walmart in Albuquerque, New Mexico this weekend, heads exploded when they saw Schwarzenegger going up and down the aisles, buying some warm clothing. Apparently it caught him by surprise. He was in New Mexico, and they had a cold snap, so he had to stock up. And he was very kind, they say, thanking employees for helping him pick out some clothing, and dropped around $300 there at the cash-out. As he loaded up his bags. Imagine seeing Schwarzenegger you're at Walmart, and you've got your 12-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon, and your case of Cheetos, and some sneakers that you got, you know, and a belt made out of wicker or something, whatever they sell there. And then in front of you, now take two of these sweaters, and, give me a parka, and the mucklucks. I want the mucklucks, too. Give me those. They look very warm. Yeah, here's my card.
I think what would happen is you would see the governor and you would go, I know that's him, but it can't be him. And I think your brain would start to misfire a little bit because you couldn't wrap your head around it actually being Schwarzenegger. It'd
be the greatest shopping excursion ever. Today's celebrity birthdays, Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch is 54 years old today.
Ralph, is he the one who was married to and had the big reality TV career with Adrienne Curry?
That's right.
The model? Oh, how about that? Okay.
They were a very married Brady, or very Brady lady, very Lady
whatever
Brady,
that was
whatever
down.
That show was, yeah. Morgan Spurlock, filmmaker, documentarian, is 41 years old today. Robin Fink of Nine Inch Nails and Guns N' Roses turns 40. The London twins, Jeremy and Jason, both actors, 39 years old today. And Yunjin Kim, who played Sun on Lost, she is 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Is that Andrew Siciliano stuffing his face so fast before we go on the air?
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, guys. He's all full of scone and ready to go.
Well, that's a great way to start a morning. Yeah.
I don't know how you do it, how you come in here on Mondays after the day you have on Sundays. I would think you would need like 3 days to recover from doing the Red Zone on DirecTV, but here you are bright and early, sounding great. Well, thank you for that.
It's you guys. It's the energy and all that. And the traffic. I want to sit in traffic on the 10 on Monday morning to come see you guys. But
gets you amped up. It gets your blood boiling.
Exactly.
You're good to go on NFL later in the day.
Exactly.
What did you enjoy this weekend, Andrew? The NFL, greatest sport in the world, and there's always great storylines to follow, and there's no weekend that disappoints. There's no weekend where there's not something interesting to watch.
I think Joe Flacco has to be the story of the weekend.
Joe Flacco, for those who didn't see, and backing up to what you said, it is the world's greatest reality show. I'll say that every single Monday morning, because they are legitimately talented people where you truly have no idea what's going to happen.
And real
it
drama.
Isn't scripted.
Yeah, real drama.
There is real drama every single week. They're not a bunch of talentless chicks whose dad bought them a boutique in the valley and everything is scripted.
Right.
No names.
That seems thinly veiled.
Thinly veiled. Where were we? Oh, what did I like? Joe Flacco.
Yeah, that's
Joe Flacco, for those who don't know, is the Ravens quarterback, and they swept the Steelers for the first time since, I believe, 2006. And Flacco had this issue. He has trouble beating Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger being the Steelers quarterback. And then the money was on the table. Roethlisberger threw his touchdown. That's a cliche. I'm sorry. Money on the table. And Flacco marched his team down the field and threw a touchdown with 8 seconds remaining. And the Ravens beat the Steelers, sweeping them for the season, did it in Pittsburgh, and thus kind of really planting their flag as the team to beat in the AFC.
But especially with Flacco's struggles as of late, he has not been playing his best quarterback.
He has not. They lost to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago on a Monday tonight. Jacksonville is a one-win team.
Yeah.
It was the worst loss that any single team had against any opponent the entire year. Now, that was later trumped by the Saints and the Rams, but they almost lost to one-win teams in consecutive weeks. They needed a rally from down 21 to beat the Cardinals at home the following week. And then to go on the road and do this against Pittsburgh, it's kind of saying, hey, you know what? The other 2 weeks never happened. We're back. We're here. And Joe Flacco, the quarterback that no one really had much faith in, did it at the end.
Now, I didn't watch the game, but I did follow, as I follow a lot of sports on social media. And how does a guy, is it William Gay? Is that his name who plays for the Steelers?
There is a player, defensive back named William Gay.
William Gay.
Yes.
And how does a guy like that survive in a league being named William Gay? And the reason I say that is because when you have a slip-up like he did near the end of the game yesterday, you're going to hear it times 100 from Steelers fans.
And I don't know if it's a jersey that really flies off the shelves either. But I'll say this. There used to be a guy on the Browns, actually, a running back who was maybe played a year back about 7-8 years ago. His name was, I'm not joking, Ben Gay. Ben Gay.
Oh, I thought that's a comedy bit.
No,
football name.
It's his name. And my brother's fantasy team to this day in Search Oak here is the Ben Gay Project.
That's funny.
And he has a photo of Ben Gay bouncing on his head, getting upended, going into the end zone on like a pogo stick. Yeah. He was 34, for anyone who cares. Anyway.
As surprising as that the game's result was, what about the Giants and the Patriots? What about the repeat of, what is it, Super Bowl what year? 2008 or something?
It was the Super Bowl, It was 08. It was February of 08 after the 07 season
there
in
Glendale.
There you go. Yeah.
And this is the first significant game between these two teams since then, and it ended almost the same way, right?
It had Eli Manning marching down the field at the very end of the game and winning. And to show you how it's not... It's not not odd for Eli to do that this year. That was his fifth fourth quarter comeback inexplicably this year after a summer in which he said he was an elite quarterback when asked a rather innocuous question on a radio interview in New York, and everyone hammered him for it. You're not elite. Even though he had won a Super Bowl, he had now his 5 fourth quarter comebacks this year. But the crazy thing is that the Patriots had won 31 straight games at home. 4 years worth of home games with Tom Brady at quarterback. Now, without Brady, it was only 20, but that's still 2.5 years. No, 18, so yeah, 2.5 years worth of home games. 31 straight games. The Patriots, like, we talk about taking Peyton Manning off the Colts, and they're now 0-9 and an embarrassment. Bill Belichick is a better coach than Jim Caldwell in Indianapolis. No one would ever suggest otherwise. And no one would suggest that the Patriots would be 0-9 without Tom Brady. They lost him a couple of years ago with Matt Castle. They went 11-5.
Yep.
But you take Tom Brady off this Patriots team, as opposed to the one a couple of years ago when he got hurt...
That's because the defense is hurting. It's bad.
Well, statistically, it's the worst.
Yeah, in the league.
It's the number 32 defense. I don't know how they recalculate the numbers this morning, but heading into yesterday, no one had a worse overall defense than New England. No one had a worse passing defense than New England. So the fact that Eli Manning was able to march the Giants down the field actually is somewhat expected these days against New England. Now, there was a pass interference call that the Patriots shot themselves in the foot with, and that killed them. But, yeah, they marched him down the field. And how about the Raiders? Yeah. Tim Tebow beat them.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was a good day.
I didn't see anybody Tebowing.
I didn't see anybody Tebowing. No. And how about Tebow? He threw a touchdown pass, and then, instead of running down to celebrate, you guys see what he did?
He broke up a fight.
He broke up a fight?
What? There was, I mean, we're not
Wait,
talking,
a fight at a Raiders game?
Go figure. We're not talking haymakers between players, but there was pushing and shoving and finger pointing and all that after the touchdown. Instead of running to the end zone to celebrate the touchdown, he runs 10 yards down the field and breaks up.
Had a counseling session.
Threw a touchdown, played peacemaker, very same play, and the Raiders had 15 penalties. Continuing their march towards shattering the NFL record for penalties. 15. I mean, you have to be, how do I say this? A dumb team to consistently get that many penalties week in, week out.
That's really the only controllable part of the game you can have, because everything else depends on what the other team is doing, and sometimes it's just dumb luck. But the majority of penalties are under your control.
And you have to understand the rules of the game that you're playing. That's what's required there to avoid penalties.
Raider fans will argue that there's this conspiracy against them, that they draw flags because they're the Raiders. Okay, let's say that's 5% of the time. I don't agree with it, but let's say that's 5% of the time. You take out 5%, I'll even give you 10, even though you're insane. Even at 10%, they still would lead the league in penalties running away. And a former Raider once told me, no names, there's a reason. I said, because look, every single year, doesn't matter who the coach is, doesn't matter who the players are, because that all changes. Right. They've gone through a lot of coaches the last decade.
Yeah.
They still lead the league in penalties every single year. Why? And he said, listen, I was there a couple of years. They never, ever draft the smart players. They only draft the fastest.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Interesting.
And that's why.
Andrew Siciliano is here, of course, from the NFL Network every afternoon, Monday through Thursday at 4, and, of course, the DirecTV Red Zone. We got to take a break. When we come back, we want to talk about some more games from this weekend and also a preview of Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles playing tonight on Monday night. The Sis is here. We'll return on the Kevin and Bean. I promise we didn't pick that because Siciliano was in studio. It just came up. That's just what happened to be what we're playing.
Going out to all the Colts fans.
It actually showed up randomly on my iPod last week. Seriously.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is here. Hey, before we look ahead toward the big Monday night game and talk about what you'll be doing on the TV afterwards, this is a big week for NBA fans who most of us, I think, have already accepted the fact there's not going to be a season. But officially, technically, that isn't the case yet until this week, right?
You're saying there's a chance, right?
There is a chance led to believe.
There really is a chance, but it's going to come down to Wednesday. The owners have basically said, and they met again this weekend. They were meeting, I think, for most of yesterday, but they weren't actually face-to-face. A lot was with the mediator going back and forth, and this is the same mediator that worked with the NFL and its union for a while as well. It's basically down to Wednesday. The owners have drawn their line in the sand, and if you hear between now and Wednesday that the union is decertifying,
that's
saying we're no longer
a
union, which is what they did in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right, and they've allegedly, what Ralph is referring to, last week had these conference calls in which the players were saying, why don't we just break up the union and do what the NFL did? If they do that between now and Wednesday, there will be no season. End of discussion.
Yeah. Apparently, they've already got the 130 names of the players they need on some petition, apparently, that they can go to the court with and say, we want to decertify.
Which is not a shock.
Right.
The question is, will they
pull the trigger?
I mean, that's pushing the button.
Right.
That's saying, we're
done.
That's
DEFCON 1.
That is DEFCON 1, exactly. And if they do that, there will be no season. The owners have given, basically, an ultimatum. It's Wednesday or else. They're trying to split up this money. And at this point,
They're arguing over percentage points.
But when extrapolated out to the all the money that's taken in, ends up being millions of dollars.
Sure, but how many game checks are they missing?
Oh, I hear you.
Yeah, that's millions of dollars as well.
Sure.
Yeah, the difference in the percentage between the sides, it seems like, is going to be offset by the money that none of the players are going to be making this whole season.
Is what it sounds like. Exactly. And the players can say all they want, oh, we're fighting for those who are going to play in the league 5-6 years from now. You really buy that?
No.
I mean, I don't buy that at all.
They're losing money out of their pockets right now. I'm not calling these guys more selfish than football players, but just get a stinking deal done because too many people are losing too much money.
Well, Chris Humphreys, what about him, though? What about the week he's having? Losing his wife and now losing his job? The
just
poor kid.
And then Reggie Bush scores a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, just adding insult to injury.
I don't know if you know this. That was Reggie Bush's first rushing touchdown in two full years.
Now,
he's had... He's had passing touchdowns. Right, he's had return touchdowns. But as a running back,
which
hand you the football.
Job.
You run with it. It's his first rushing touchdown in 2 years.
You're suggesting he hasn't lived up to his potential.
Actually, that's a fact. However, he is still a good football player. He is still a valuable weapon on your team. Is he what we thought he was going to be? No, he isn't.
No,
it doesn't mean he's not
aren't.
A good football player.
They usually aren't. The people we fall in love with in college rarely make the transition and are as great as we want them to be. I think there's a lot more stories of people who did not pan out than people who did.
Although most Heisman Trophy winners tend to show up and do pretty well in the NFL.
Most of them do, but then there are guys like Eric Crouch, who's the quarterback in Nebraska, who ran option football, and he never made it in the NFL. He had to switch to safety. You know?
Right. Hey, one last question before we look to tonight, and that is it too early to tell, or is there any kind of a noticeable tick in the NHL in either attendance or television as a result of basketball fans having nowhere to go?
Well, that is a great question, and I don't have that answer.
Okay.
I have no clue, because I have yet to watch. Where's Hockey Boy today?
He's on vacation.
Hockey Boy's on vacation.
Hockey Boy's on vacation.
Yeah.
I honestly couldn't.
We can't think of his name either, by the way. So there's no shame in that.
We just call him Hockey Boy.
I would assume that there is a little bit of an uptick, but I don't know that those fan bases necessarily overlap.
I was thinking
much.
In the Venn diagram of sports fans, I think there's a very small crossover between the hockey and the
That's
basketball.
Good use of
fans.
Venn diagram today, Ralph.
You've got to be pretty hardcore to accept one for the other. All right, let's talk about tonight. Ralph's Philadelphia Eagles versus the Chicago Bears.
And Bean foolishly says no one cares about this game. But
this
I would
is
beg
a good game.
I would
it
beg
might
to
be
differ.
A good game, but I'm just saying that who in the country is really hanging on the outcome of this one? That's
well, when
all
you
I'm
say
saying.
Hanging on the outcome, what do you mean by that? Like their life depends on who wins? If you ask Philadelphia fans, their life always depends on who wins.
We're in playoff mode already. It's pretty much win or go home for our team.
They have to win. They're 3-4. They dug themselves such a big hole. It's Michael Vick against the Chicago Bears. Vick will always get a number on television. The Chicago Bears, no matter how bad they are, will always get a number on television. Yeah. This will be one of the more viewed Monday night games all year.
Yes.
Wow.
Believe it
and
or not.
I stand corrected. So what do you do on the NFL Network? So you guys don't carry the game. That doesn't start till Thursday. But
correct.
Then what do you do? You post-game analysis?
We'll do a post-game show. After the game, we'll come on at 8:30 Pacific. Who's there tonight? Yours truly, Kara Henderson, obviously. Willie McGinnis.
Oh, McGinnis. Huh.
Yes, sir. Former Trojan.
Yeah.
And Charles Davis, the great Charles Davis this evening. Plus, we have the pregame show starting at 4 o'clock. Total access 4 to 5:30 with the above plus Coach Brian Billick and Warren Sapp.
Nice.
Today as well at 4 o'clock.
And then Thursday, the NFL Network, and this is one of our favorite times of the year because you start having games, too. And you've got the Raiders-Chargers, is that right?
Raiders-Chargers in San Diego Thursday night to open up the NFL Network games.
Let me ask you about that because there are some teams, the Packers proved it in San Diego this weekend, no matter where they go around the league, they're still the home team. And that's what the Raiders seem to be like, too. There are Raiders fans everywhere, of course, a ton of them in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's going to feel like a home game for the Raiders, too, right?
You think, because it often does. I don't know how these tickets were distributed this year. I say distributed. It's not as if they're handed out. The Chargers, like some other teams, but especially the Chargers, and I'll plead ignorance here. I don't know if they still do it. They used to have a thing, and it didn't always work, where you wanted to buy the Raider game, you also had to buy X, Y, and Z games.
Yeah, they
it was
selling
a package.
Right.
They didn't sell individual tickets to the Raider game. I don't know if they still do that. I don't think that they do, regardless, with all the Raider fans still in Southern California. it'll be, I'm assuming, 60-40. 60-40, yeah. Chargers, Raiders. Is that fair? 60-40?
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I don't think it's much more than that or much less than that. There will be a huge Raider contingent there, especially now that they're serviceable again. I mean, they're 4-4. We thought they were better than that. Remember we said I thought they were going to be 6-2?
Beginning of the season.
Yeah. But now they're... Another 4-4.
What's going on with Phillip Rivers, by the way?
No one knows.
What is the story there?
He swears he isn't hurt. He swears it's not an issue of lack of sleep. He and his wife just had their sixth kid last month. He swears he's fine mentally, but he has
just doesn't understand birth control.
He's thrown 14 interceptions, however.
That's insane.
Which is...
And only got six kids out of that. Andrew Siciliano can be heard of the NFL and seen on the NFL Total Access. So on our time, West Coast, it's 4 p.m. really on the, like, the satellite or something like that. And then look for him after the game. And, of course, the Red Zone on DirecTV every Sunday, too, which is still the greatest show going.
Oh, one more thing. I forgot.
Yes.
Congratulations to Landon Donovan of the Galaxy, who won their conference title last night. They won.
What sport is that again?
That's soccer.
Okay. Soccer boy isn't here either.
Yeah. It was an amazing scene at the Home Depot. Okay. They beat Salt Lake 3-1, and now they get 2 weeks off. They will play for the MLS Championship 2 weeks from now against Houston.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
And that's a real thing.
They have a ball, and they have nets, and they have everything, and Landon scored last night. Congratulations to them.
So it's Galaxy versus the Houston Powderhorns?
It's the Dynamo.
The Dynamo. Okay. Well, yes. We're all looking forward to that.
Come on now.
Especially after trouncing the powerhouse
that
is Salt
Lake
City.
Did you not get into the World Cup?
No, sir.
Did none of you get into the World Cup?
You know how you are with hockey? You know how you are with hockey?
Yes.
I'm that way about soccer.
I don't mind.
I own the Center Ice package, but I don't watch soccer.
I don't mind soccer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Andrew, we're going out on such a high note until had to drag us down with your soccer talk.
They won. I'm celebrating a Los Angeles victory.
You have any badminton updates you'd like to get to before the end of the break?
You guys suck.
Why don't you open up a blog or something and leave us the hell out of this?
Suck.
All right. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Special word for the ladies listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. 21 and up. If you've got them and you're ready to show them, you can go to krock.com right now to sign up to be Miss Double December 2012. I can't believe it's here already.
I know. It's just the time has spun by.
Miss Double December 2011, Christine, we're going to miss so much.
She was a sweetie.
She's the best, and it's a shame she died right there in the final weeks.
She did not die. She's fine. No. She was in this morning. She's well.
Oh, she's okay. Okay,
she looks
good.
Great.
I got bad information. You can go to krock.com. You can see a photo gallery looking back on her beautiful reign of the last 11 months or so. And if you want to be Miss Double December 2012, we are taking your submissions this week and next. There's a brief questionnaire for you to fill out on the website and also, an opportunity for you to upload some photos and we can get back to you and whatnot. So the pageant, by the way, if you want to come down and join us or plan on watching it live that day, is going to be December 2nd at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Once again, they are the hosts of the Miss Double December pageant. Really our favorite event that we do all year here on the Kevin and Bean Show for two obvious reasons. Right now, though, time for the showbiz beat here on a Monday. Ralph Garman joins us. What's going on, Ralph?
I don't know if I want to eat anything because I have a rock and roll kitchen, by the way. I'm afraid what the ingredients are in a rock and roll kitchen.
It doesn't sound hygienic, does
it? No, it does not. I just think of, Axl Rose sweating into my stew or something back there while he's making it. It just doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Well, we've all been to the Slide Bar. We know that it's very clean and quite delicious. So you'll have a good time.
Okay, if you say so. This weekend's hot movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Puss in Boots 3D, number one this weekend. Made $34 million. Right behind it was Tower Heist in its debut. The new Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy comedy, $24.6 million. Harold and Kumar, 3D Christmas, debuted this weekend as well with $13
million. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You take an Asian guy and an Indian guy.
Mm-hmm.
Marijuana.
Okay.
Hilarity then ensues.
Right. Where's your question?
There's no question.
Oh, God. Paranormal Activity 3 was 4. In Time, the new Justin Timberlake thriller, $7.8 million. Made it number 5 this weekend. Footloose, Real Steel, The Rum Diary, Ides of March, and Moneyball. That rounds out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. This is a little news for Lisa. You know, she loves the Broadway.
Yes, tell me.
Hugh Jackman's on stage right now with his one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
Went into its first week of previews. It made $1.2 million.
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
That's for 8 shows.
Jeez. That's for Hugh Jackman standing up on stage talking?
No, he's singing and dancing talking.
What are they charging for a ticket?
I can't imagine, but how do you make $1.2 million for 8 shows?
$500 a ticket?
It's got to be.
Jeez.
That broke the house record at the Broadhurst Theater, set by Al Pacino in The Merchant of Venice last season.
Oh.
So Hugh Jackman seems like he's got a hit on his hands.
Man.
No kidding. Well, look, everyone loves Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
The manliest man, the sissiest girl, they all love Hugh Jackman.
And he can sing and dance like a mofo.
Yeah, he can.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's an entertaining show as well. As opposed to Pacino's Merchant of Venice.
Oh. I'm a Jew. Ooh. And I want money. Ooh-ah! With the pound of flesh. Oh, Shylock. Come on now. Oh,
I'm just saying it was a long show. It took a long time to get through that show.
Quite trying for the audience.
Yes. Charlie Sheen has gone from Two and a Half Men, of course, but another train wreck is pulling into the station. Gary Busey has just been signed for an upcoming episode.
Always,
no joy,
I'm sorry.
No joy there? No joy?
No. Absolutely.
Upcoming episode of, I'm sorry, of the Charlie Sheen, of Two and a Half Men?
Two and
or
a Half Men, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You got to pick, Bean, come on. Stay with me. We're almost done here. Started off, Charlie Sheen left Two and a Half Men, another train wreck pulling into the station, Gary Busey.
Okay, I'm down.
The,
I like
the
it.
The station, okay, the station's Two and a Half Men, right? The first train leaving to Schenectady, going 40 miles an hour in the opposite direction was Gary Busey.
How long did it take?
He was a pussy.
John Cryer will share a room in a mental institution with Gary Busey, who will be playing himself in an upcoming episode.
Fantastic. That that show is still doing very well. It's fallen, of course, a bit from the ridiculous premiere numbers, but it's still a very solid hit Monday nights on CBS, right?
I don't know if you're familiar with the current storyline or not, but John Cryer's character has lost his mind over grief of his dead brother and now has assumed his brother's identity.
Oh, wow.
So John Cryer has been doing a Charlie Sheen impression playing Charlie's character opposite Ashton Kutcher on the show.
I'm sorry, I've not seen that.
Yes, it's,
that sounds creepy.
It's actually very funny. John Cryer's
really?
Doing a great job. He's got the voice, and he smokes a cigar, and he's drinking scotch and the whole nine yards,
no
but
kidding.
He's playing Charlie Sheen on the show. So they send him to an institution, and his roommate there is Gary Busey. I'm watching that.
That is brilliant.
For sure. Justin Bieber will reportedly take a DNA test in 2 weeks when he returns from Europe to prove that he is not the father of the baby, like this Mariah Yeater says. However, Mariah is claiming it is his baby and is telling everyone they look exactly alike.
How old's the baby?
3 months.
Oh, okay.
They are the same size. Don't get me wrong. They are the exact same height and weight.
All little babies look like Justin Bieber, though, anyway, don't they?
She says they have the same pout.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you want to compare baby pouts or not, but apparently, I've seen the photos of the baby, and the baby does have pierced ears and wears those tragically hip glasses with the regular lenses in them.
So. Oh, I don't even know why they need a
I'm
test.
I'm saying, there's a lot going on.
You are not the
And you want to absolutely, without question, I demand, you must watch Dr. Drew's show, Life Changers, today.
Absolutely.
It's on the CW at 3 o'clock. Because his special guests are going to be Courtney Stodden and Doug Hutchinson. Courtney Stodden, you may remember, was the, at the time, 16-year-old bride of actor Doug Hutchinson from Lost and Green Mile. She's now 17 years old. And she and Doug have spent a lot of time defending the fact that she's never had any plastic surgery. So Dr. Drew, this afternoon, is going to run an ultrasound over her breasts to make sure that they're real. Yes, Drew is still saving lives, people.
He's not going to talk to her about why she has daddy issues?
Well, I'm sure that will come up. But more importantly, he's going to ultrasound her boobs.
She's got fake boobs.
No.
Fake lips.
No.
Fake nose.
No.
Fake cheekbones.
No.
She's fake.
No, no, no.
Look, I couldn't love Dr. Drew any more than I do. I really couldn't. But I think he's been CW'd here, guys.
He has been CW. What's the episode after that? It's at 3:30, Bean? You were saying?
They're talking to, what's her face? Michael Lohan's crazy ex
right.
that he was always screaming at in Celebrity Rehab.
Kate Major.
Kate Major is who's going to be on.
He's already had Nadia Sulman on.
Right.
He gave her a lifetime supply of cleaning products and some other parting gifts, I remember, on that show. So, just saying. That's all. Today's celebrity birthday is Christopher Knight. He played Peter Brady on The Brady Bunch. He's 54 years old. Morgan Spurlock, documentarian, who seems to make a movie about every 4.5 days, I think.
All
he's
right.
got a new movie out.
I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
He's 41. The London twins, Jeremy and Jason. Jeremy was on Party of Five. Jason was in a couple movies, including The Rage, Carrie 2. Who could forget that? They're both 39 years old today. And Yeonjun Kim. who played Sun on Lost. She was great on that show. 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph, and thanks to everybody for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today. We're going to come back and try it again tomorrow, including more tickets for you to join us on the red carpet world premiere of The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 1. You get to see it on Monday, the 14th, at LA Live in theaters several days before it opens up everywhere else on Friday, the 18th. So we got those tickets for you tomorrow. Our friend Adam Sessler is going to be here tomorrow from G4. Nope. This is Sessler. Right. He's the video games guy talking about Modern Warfare 3.
Good to see you again.
That's Wes. That's Adam West. Sorry. Completely different guy. Also, Ralph, I know you're going to be excited. We got some Schmidt on the program tomorrow.
I love Schmidt.
Max Greenfield, of course, is the actor on the Zooey Deschanel show called The New Girl. He plays Schmidt. Very funny on that show. He's going to be joining us. Daniel Seberg is the author of a book called The Digital Diet. He is my ultimate foe. He says less technology is the way to a happy life.
Yeah, that's what you need. You need an intervention.
I am. He's already my mortal foe. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices tomorrow.
Nope.
Also, I think we're going to have to visit the Dr. Drew program from this afternoon and see what's up with him and Courtney Stata, because that just sounds like good old-fashioned television right there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So all of that tomorrow. Come on back, won't you, for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.